about.
You gotta put it in
perspective. Word to the wise. Remember Pearl Harbor.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Pop singer $ha revealed that she wears her own placenta as a necklace. She said, quote, I have a belief that if I wear my placenta in a necklace, there's a possibility of me gaining second sight, like being psychic. So tell me, Kesha, do you win or lose Celebrity Fit Club 5 years from now?
Now, that is an example of a very appropriate and very, very funny joke.
How's Taco Bell gonna make money off of that?
That's a good question.
Tool time for 200.
This term for a long-handled gardening tool can also mean an immoral pleasure seeker. Ken.
What's a hoe?
No.
And now.
Free bird!
Our feature presentation.
What's a hoe?
Isn't that awesome?
No.
I think the answer was rake is what they were looking for. If I remember that particular episode of Jeopardy. But hey, party people, it's Tuesday, and it's time for your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Once again, that is our toll-free number if you want to get on the air and contribute a little something. Here's one of interest for you, Psycho Mike.
Okay.
I won't say it's a hot or popular new diet, but it is getting a lot of attention right now. The woman in England who has lost 43 pounds since June.
Mm-hmm.
She says the way she's been able to do it is because she has been injecting herself with the urine from a pregnant woman every day.
That is an old thing that's come back around.
Really?
Yeah.
What is that supposed to do?
How does that
I don't help know, you lose but I weight? Remember years ago that this was something.
Just make you throw
thing.
Up and then you lose weight that way?
They say that there is a hormone in it that has been shown to help the body metabolize faster by tricking your brain into thinking that you're pregnant.
What?
I don't know if that's true.
I don't either.
Because
I don't think it's likely either.
I'm prepared to say it's not true, and I don't have any idea.
Because you're, somebody knows something.
Not to get too graphic, but urine, if you were to drink it, wouldn't have any like psychoactive effects. I mean, it wouldn't affect your brain.
It's go
a
right
sterile
to your body.
Liquid. Yeah, it would just you go in and out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's check with producer Alex, who apparently knows someone who's actually doing the urine diet.
Apparently, I should be on it because I'm winded as I just ran down the hallway. I had this conversation with a girlfriend a week ago who was on this diet, and I told her she's crazy, and I was genuinely concerned for her health. Basically, it does trick your body into thinking you're pregnant. You can either shoot in the hormone, or you can take some oral pill.
Right.
And you have to do this crazy food plan along with taking the hormones, and
well,
it's for 20 days.
I wonder if the crazy food plan has anything to do with the weight loss.
Yeah. And I'm like, how can this be healthy for you? If your body thinks you're pregnant and you're depriving it of nutrients, she can't eat more than 1,000 calories a day.
Well, that's why you're losing weight.
That's why you're losing weight.
It's crazy.
I know. Hey, here's the thing.
That pee thing is just somebody going, look what I got him to do.
Exactly. Because I'm not a doctor by any means, but I would imagine.
But you know a doctor. You sit next to one.
True. I sit next to one every night.
Love line.
If it were to make you test positive as pregnant in a urine test doesn't necessarily mean that your brain's tricked into believing metabolically that you're pregnant.
That's
you know what I'm saying?
Say.
Like it's very strange.
And I knew it was bad too because this was the way she justified it. Well, Beth from Dog the Bounty Hunter did it, and that's how she lost all her weight.
Oh man!
I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
But again, why not try the crazy 1,000 calories a day and don't do the urine and see if the results are the same?
I think
because I bet they are.
This time of year, get desperate because she totally just wants to look hot for the
right.
holidays, and she just thinks, well, if I do the food and then I combine the hormones and then if I can just combine everything at once, I'm going to be on this like super diet.
And there's just this idea. That if there's this magic ingredient
right.
that you can get a hold of, it'll just make it all work.
Which is the strangest thing for the lady dieter, because that sounds horrible. Like you would
right.
have to really commit to doing a lot of very, very, very terrible things, yet it's better in their eyes than just dieting and exercising, which is, you know, don't get me wrong, it's hard.
Right.
But
right.
it sounds a lot easier than drinking urine.
Yeah.
And by the way... excuse me, Alex.
Why
does the injection exist if you can achieve the same results by taking a pill?
That I don't know, because as soon as she mentioned the injections, then I got even more scared. But she said she's doing the pill. I think it's honestly more expensive, and
where
it's a way to get more money.
Where do you get the supply? Do you have to call someone and go, I'm going to be
oh,
over.
No.
Drink,
so
it, drink a glass
it,
of water.
And she sent me the link online. There's a website, so
all
it
right.
must be safe.
I can't believe that's legal.
I buy coyote urine, as you know.
Yeah.
Keep raccoons out of my yard. I wonder if you could go to Amazon.com and buy human female pregnant urine the same way.
Who wants to diet? Let's put someone on it. Who's looking for a way to lose weight? Anyone?
I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good.
Right. Dave, anyone? Omar?
I certainly need to, but there's no way.
Let's try it.
I don't believe I'm trying the
try
pregnant
it.
Urine. I don't think it works for guys. You can't trick my brain into thinking I'm pregnant, Kevin.
Have you tried it?
Well, no, but it doesn't make any sense.
He's got you there, though.
1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
You get the Kevin, the and the Bean, and it's on a T-shirt for you for being on the air with us here today. Why don't we go right to Tanya, who apparently is a biochemist and is going to tell us that this diet absolutely 100% works. You can't go wrong with it. Am I right, Tanya?
Yeah, you're totally right. What did you, nephew? What did you, baby? Boo?
What did you?
Thanks for calling.
I want to start off to tell you guys, I've been listening to you guys since I was like 10 years old.
All right.
We started when we were 10 years old. Yeah. That's so weird.
it's totally the new snake oil of this day and age. I mean,
now
you don't want to mess around with hormones, especially if a guy were to try to use it, because that can totally mess around with your, like you guys were talking about earlier, your metabolism. It could totally mess with everything.
Okay, but let me ask you this, and this is the part that we're having. None of us are buying it, Tanya, but is it possible to trick your brain into thinking you're a pregnant woman and have some effect on your metabolism? Is that even possible?
Technically, I guess it could be possible, but it would take a huge regimen of hormone treatment and nothing like just injecting urine into yourself. Would have really dilute amount of hormones anyway.
Right.
So it wouldn't even really be enough to make you test positive for anything, really.
So you'd need a lot.
You need a gallon, right?
A gallon a day.
Do we need to have a working dose of the hormones in order for you to have any action in your body?
Because
hormones are just second messengers that cause other things to get released.
A tiny amount
of them isn't going to do anything.
If you did trick your body into thinking you're pregnant, your breasts would grow, right?
That's true, and you'd lactate.
Not necessarily. You can take the hormone that causes breast development and inject it into yourself, and it might not necessarily cause you to get bigger breasts. It may just cause you to get fat. It could cause any number of things.
That's nature's joke.
But it's on the website.
It must be true if it's on the internet. The internet can't lie. Come on.
Everything on the internet is true.
That's correct.
In conclusion, go ahead and stick to the 1,000 calories a day and ixnay on the urine way, and that's going to give you the same results.
And actually, I've been sticking to the caloric restriction, and I've lost 50 pounds since about May.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
But think how much you could have lost had you been using human urine.
If I've been using human urine, probably a lot more because I've been throwing up a lot.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, until you started talking about the throwing up part, I was going to say the diet's working for you, Tanya, because you sound hot. So keep doing what you're doing, okay?
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks for calling. Hang on for your T-shirt.
How about that?
Now we know.
Yep.
It's a biochemist. What you doing listening to this program?
That's weird.
I mean, really, what do we offer a biochemist?
That's true. There must be some smart show she could listen to.
I don't understand. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
You just blew my mind.
Didn't say anything yet. Although, Allison Hayslip,
yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Allison Hayslip from G4.
Yes. Our new traffic person, right?
Our new news person. Our new me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whatever position she wants, she can have. She'll be here today.
I'll say.
We have tickets in the pit for the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
That'll work.
In the pit. We have two different games for you, chances to win those tickets in the pit. We have John Brenkus, who's written a book called The Perfect Point. And he's trying to figure out scientifically how fast a man can run, how far a man can jump, that kind of stuff. Literally, is there any kind of limit, a scientific limit, where it's not possible to break?
And that's super interesting to me, because when you're talking about what's the fastest a guy can run the 100 meters, the answer is whatever the record is the fastest somebody can do it, until the next guy comes along who can do it faster.
But my point, but there always seems to be a next guy, so how do you come up with this answer?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing from this guy. I mean, Psycho Mike, one of the things he tackles in the book is what's the physical outside limit of how much a human can bench press, for instance.
Right, and he's taking
again,
into
that's
account
another,
muscles
another record
and
that, yeah,
ligaments.
Exactly. That's another record that always gets broken. But yeah. He says there's a limit, I guess.
No, I mean, you guys brought it up, but we'll talk about it more with him. But there's always going to be that X factor, though, of a freak of nature being born. Every 20 years, there comes
right,
along.
So,
yeah, so it's weird.
So his book is irrelevant. So we're going to have to start off killing him.
That's right. Yeah. Waste of time.
World of Warcraft, I don't know if you've heard anything about this game. But it's
a little something.
It's rather large, and there's a new one coming out today.
Cataclysm here.
Cataclysm. So can't wait for that. Bean, you play that? I see
World
you as
Warcraft,
a World of Warcraft.
Not so much. I'm more of a Keno guy.
Keno. Wow, that's the first mention of that in a long time. And Psycho Mike is poor and has no sense of humor. Also coming up in about a half hour. So. Good times with that. Yeah. How long did we argue about this yesterday after the show?
Hour.
All,
an hour.
Yeah. All things will be argued.
That's the problem is we can never clarify anything, so we have to bring it on the air. We have to just put it behind us and move on.
That's
so
right.
We're going to try
at least
that
way it's handled officially.
Right.
On the record.
Right. All right. So that's coming up. We'll take a break, and we will come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Sorry, Eden. And it's 5:49.
Plenty of ways for you to win your tickets to join us this weekend for the Almost Acoustic Christmas Concerts. We got a couple of games you can play coming up. Plus, you are listening for a song called Feel Good Drag by Amberlin. When you hear it, just be caller 21, and you'll score pit tickets for night number one, which is going to be awesome. By the way, we haven't mentioned this yet, but we are going to be broadcasting live from down there just before the show. And I believe we're also webcasting again this year. So you can just go to the website and catch out all the details. If you are unable to join us, make sure you play along with the home game. Hey, Ralph Grammer, what's going on, man?
Oh, stuff, things.
What
oh,
kind stuff of stuff and things?
Wow.
And various items.
All right.
Let's start with the various items.
All right. Kelsey Grammer.
Guilty.
Who, of course, he's not being charged with anything this time around, except maybe bad judgment. He just filed for his divorce. From his third wife, Camille, back in July, and now apparently he thinks it's a good idea to take a fourth stab.
Why does he
wow.
do this?
At Wedded Bliss. The actor's representative has confirmed to Us Weekly magazine that Kelsey has been engaged to his girlfriend, Katie Walsh, for some time now. So, congratulations, Kelsey. I'm sure this time it's going to work.
Look, there are a lot of reasons to suspect that it's not going to work because of his track record, but wouldn't you think that a guy who's had to pay as much alimony as Kelsey Grammer has would just never get married again?
Well, yeah. It's funny because according to this story, Kelsey checked with his accountant and found out that he still had some money left, and he decided he needed to get rid of half of it.
Too much.
So he decided to get married because it seemed like the best way to handle it.
All right.
Speaking of marriage, Angelina Jolie says that having six kids at home makes life actually more enjoyable than for those people who don't have that many kids at home.
No!
She says they constantly remind you of what's really important. Yeah, sleep! That's what they remind you of. You're not getting.
What you used to have.
Yes. Meanwhile, she's also directing a movie, but she says that she and Brad Pitt still find time for date nights away from their six little children. And that keeps their relationship strong by keeping them focused on one another as well as the six kids.
Ralph, you've got a daughter at home.
What?
And
I've got a daughter?
And
I gotta go.
You don't mention it much, but I sense that it has changed your life in not all great ways in terms of clock management. Imagine having six kids. Imagine having six little ones at home.
Well, if I had Brangelina money,
yeah,
I'm assuming I could have a staff. That
but
would
I don't believe
that
they do though. I don't think they're big into the staff. I think they've got very limited help.
She's big into the staff. Yes.
Yep. But, I mean, take what you've gone through with the one and imagine having six of them.
But listen, I'm not even talking about baby staff. I'm saying if you've got a personal assistant and you've got somebody who runs your errands for you and you've got a team of business people who pay your bills for you and manage your finances.
Freeze up some time.
If you've got people, then it makes the rest of your life easier because it frees up all those little things that you have to do for yourself on top.
Can't hire
of it,
someone to sleep for you, though.
No, you can't.
Have you tried?
That's a joke. No, I haven't.
That's an excellent point,
you
Kevin.
May have a new, you have a new business model.
I want that
well
job.
On the market.
If it's available, by the way, I want to be the guy who sleeps for you. That'd
by
be
way,
awesome.
Even having said that, most people, I don't think, have the capacity to deal with six kids. I mean, I think that's a pretty unique
deal
with her.
And by all accounts, I mean, who knows what goes on in their lives, but they do seem to be able to manage it and to juggle it pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
She also mentions, by the way, in this article that she has never considered any plastic surgery and has no plans to do so in the future.
Well, yeah. Why. You're Angelina Jolie. Right.
Really?
Everyone else is getting surgery to look like you.
Right.
Don't worry about it. Oh. Even the beautiful people say, oh, no, that's not for me. No.
I wouldn't think about that.
Oh, I'm happy with the way I look. Of course you are. All right. I'm off that. James Franco. This guy gets more and more intriguing to me all the time. He's a loon.
He is a loon.
He is a certifiable lunatic, but in a good way. I think in the best possible way. He is an artiste in the best sense of that word, I think.
He's a Renaissance man.
Well, I don't know about a Renaissance man, but he is an artist, and he doesn't seem to care too much about a lot of things other than his art, which is cool. We had Danny Boyle in here, director of 127 Hours, and he said when he first met Franco, he thought he was stoned.
Yeah.
And wouldn't give him the role. And then he found out afterwards that he wasn't. That's just how he is. He's just sort of to himself and disconnected. And he's living in another place from the rest of us. Great stories about James when he was growing up in the New York Post today. He was very much the entrepreneur when he was in junior high school. He would go to stores, steal cologne, and then sell it out of his locker.
All right.
For his buddies who wanted to smell good for the ladies. See? And that's all markup right there. If you steal the product, that's a great business model right 100%
there. 100% markup.
And also, he said when he was working at McDonald's in the drive-thru, he would practice different accents on the customers so he could constantly be working on his acting. So they'd pull up, would you like to try the new burger today, my friend? No, I just want the chicken McNuggets. He'd go, oh, would you like that supersized? He'd hit him with the different accents. Every customer would get a different James Franco. See? He's thinking outside the box. That's why he's him and we're us.
That's right. That's right.
He'll always be him and we'll always
I
be
know.
Us.
I hate us.
It is going to be weird when he's hosting the Oscars and nominated at the same time.
Yeah.
And the winner is
me.
Me.
Very bizarre. Yeah.
Most dangerous show on television. What do you think it is?
Most dangerous?
Yeah.
What do you mean? You mean people get injured on it?
You think like Jackass? You think Jackass?
No, I always thought it was the
when
the
animals
fisherman
attack
guys.
The fisherman guys?
Yeah. Deadliest Catch.
Yeah, Deadliest Catch.
Sure, people die on that show.
What is that?
A lot of people die on that show. 100%
of people
I'm
get injured.
About injuries, not death.
All right, injuries.
I'm going to say Modern Family.
Yes, exactly. They're all in the hospital.
Cake Boss.
Dancing with the Stars is a big one. Apparently, a lot of people get injured on that.
Oh, that's
true.
Uh-huh.
But apparently, episode for episode, Skating with the Stars is turning out to be quite the...
yes!
But so worth it.
Quite the triage
that's right.
of injuries when it comes to the people who are participating.
Love that.
Most recently, Brooke Castile, who is a professional ice skater, by the way.
Oh, she's one of the pros.
She is. Okay. She's teamed up with Johnny Mosley.
Okay.
He is a former Olympic skier.
Mm-hmm.
They were rehearsing, and she tripped and fell, believe it or not. She slipped on the rink as a pro. She should know better.
Right.
Unfortunately, Johnny then skated over her hand.
Oh, ow.
Oh,
I don't know if you know anything about these ice skates, but these ice skates are sharp.
They will cut.
They will cut, and her fingers were sliced down to the bone.
All right.
Dude. She had to be rushed off to the hospital.
Dude.
She's lucky she didn't lose them.
No kidding.
Because I've seen bad stuff happen with ice skates. Remember that hockey player who got his throat cut?
Yes.
Just gushing blood all over the ice? Yep. Oh, that was hideous.
That was not good.
That was not good for anybody.
Not a good day at work.
No.
I know none of us are watching Skating with the Stars, except for Miss Burlesque over there probably. But is Vince Neil still on the show?
Gosh, you got
just
me.
Just started,
I don't know.
It?
I
from
really
Motley
haven't
Crue.
Watched it.
You got me.
Yeah, we don't care.
Speaking of bad day at work, Eliza Dushku has already quit her new show, Bird Dog. I talked about this last week.
She just got it. She just started.
She's been working on it for a week. She is no longer on Bird Dog, a story of a young lady who moves to the Pacific Northwest to become a cop and then ends up partnered with her estranged father. Excellent! Eliza said the decision was mutual and amicable. Oh, isn't it always when people get fired and or quit?
Wow.
She said it was due to creative differences.
What could possibly happen in a week?
Let me tell you a little something. I have been I have very little experience in show business.
Right.
I've been in a few television shows and a few movies. But I believe I've been around it enough to know that no one ever loses their job or quits over creative differences. That is never the reason anybody has ever stopped working on a project.
That's the fill-in-the-blank reason you give the public.
Yes, that is a total BS line that we've been fed for years now. And I've just recently come to realize I see people differ creatively all the time on a set. No one's ever fired over it, and no one ever quits over it.
Right.
It's always something else. It's always about my bottled water isn't the right temperature, or you didn't sleep with me. It's always much more interesting, and I wish we would get the truth out of these people. I slept with a bottle of water.
I like it. Good.
Good news for Dexter fans. Showtime has officially announced they are renewing Michael C. Hall's drama for yet another season. The sixth season is already in the works.
I don't understand how they keep making it so intense. It is a great show.
I was a little shaky this season initially when they started up with the new storyline with Lumen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, I don't know. And then it's been really good.
It's been great.
It's been really getting good, second half of the season.
One left.
Yeah, I know. And the FX network has pulled the plug on its freshman show, Terriers. I don't know if anybody was watching Terriers.
I didn't watch it, but I heard it was good.
Oh, Lisa, you can't watch everything.
I watched like the first three or
four
episodes.
Did you watch it on the way to Burlesque?
Three
or
four episodes.
But then I stopped.
Terriers has been pulled after one season.
What's the matter with you?
People will not. Lisa will not be able to enjoy Terriers any longer.
What is it?
I watched
Show about dogs? What?
Yeah, I watched it.
Is it about
Mike
Terriers?
Mike and I enjoyed it together.
No, it's about Donald Logue plays a former cop.
Like a private investigator.
Yeah,
he
was an alcoholic.
A PI because he's a booze hound, yeah.
But they're like gritty, like sloppy, like scruffy PIs.
Yes.
Ah, they're Terriers, Kevin. They never let go of that bone.
Yeah.
That's why Lisa May likes it so much.
Wow.
They never let go of the bone.
We've got time to watch a show none of us have ever heard of.
I just
three or four episodes?
I just don't know. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Unbelievable.
Singer Aaron Carter is 23 years old today. Speaking of Dexter, Michael C. Hall's real-life wife and on-screen sister, Jennifer Carpenter, celebrates her birthday today, 31 years old.
She's
no
strangely
belt
hot.
Jennifer Carpenter?
She's strangely hot. I think she needs
a belt.
Really hot.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, well, she does have the body of a 12-year-old boy, too, so we got that going for her.
Just ring
you
the bell.
Can't argue with, you can't Pretty argue boy. With that.
Yeah. Listen, cranky. Listen, bitchy. Just ring the bell.
She's not a beauty queen, but
not
she is, like Kevin said, uniquely pretty. She
yeah.
doesn't look like all the other girls we ordinarily think are hot, but I think
she looks like a terrier.
Wow.
And she does have the body of a 12-year-old boy. You can't refute that.
Ooh.
I don't think Bean has enough chocolate in his spoiled milk this morning. I think something is something's setting him off a little bit. Actress Shiri Appleby from Roswell.
That's
32
years
old.
That's a woman right there. Now we're talking.
Singer Nicole Appleton of All Saints is 35 years old today. Wide receiver Terrell Owens celebrates his 37th birthday today.
Oh, he's good stuff, that guy.
Wonder how things are going for him over the Bengals there with Batman and Robin, him and Ocho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
You're not back, and you're not better than ever.
Nope.
Actor C. Thomas Howell is 44 years old today. NBA legend Larry Bird.
Boo!
Is 54 years. How can you not respect Larry Bird?
He's a Celtic.
So
not that's
anymore.
Your answer.
You're not playing against him anymore. In retrospect now, you can't look back and say, one of the greats.
Yeah, one of the greats, and I hate him.
And Fug.
You can't still hate him.
Way Fug. What are you talking about, can't still hate him?
Why would you still hate him?
Because he was the
he's
Celtics
no,
for that
no
many years.
But he's no longer your competition. He's no longer in the way between the Lakers and a trophy. Why would you still hate the guy? It's like when I watch Troy Aikman now on Fox, when he's broadcasting, I don't hate Troy Aikman anymore because he's not suited up. He's not a danger anymore.
This is Larry Bird, though. You know that, right?
Troy Aikman was a pretty big part of the Dallas Cowboys during their dominance.
Listen, I'm just saying.
Kevin holds a grudge.
I didn't realize you were just saying.
Right.
Okay. And singer Tom Waits, the only guy who makes makes Bob Dylan and who's Hey Hey My My, who's that dude?
Neil Young.
Seem like opera singers.
Yeah.
In comparison.
Yeah, he's not a good singer.
Not a good singer.
No.
He is 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Now, we're going to bring this conversation that started in the office yesterday onto the air, but I'm going to ask if there could be less screaming now than there was yesterday.
Nope.
It was getting kind of out of hand a little bit.
I can make no promises about that.
Where do you want to start? Originally, the suggestion was, why does Kevin hate nice things? But it sounds to me like it's gone beyond that and has gotten into a very specific incident that happened on Friday.
Yeah, but there was an incident before that predated it that is also important, which is the hitting of the cell phone out of the hand. Do we need to tell
well,
that story?
Well, there's also an instance before that's also important where Kevin kicked my guitar for no reason.
Okay, I kicked his guitar for no reason. I don't remember that, but all right.
But,
it's something I would do.
And also, all three of these things and many other instances, if there's no one else there, Kevin won't remember. So it's important that there is witnesses.
I'm not denying it.
Yeah, all right.
I'm not denying it. But here's what here's where I'd like to set it up. I'd like to set up with who Mike is. That's where I'd like
to set
it up.
I think that's how far we have to go back. Yes. I think we can't even go further back than these incidents. We have to establish who Mike has been his whole life.
All right, so Mike's parents met, right?
Yes.
And then they had sex. Right. We have to go that far back?
And then he came out of the womb and started doing drugs.
Right.
Immediately. He was in celebrity rehab by 9. And now he's sober. But here's the thing. If there was one of us, let's say that Jackass, the TV show, was going to take one of us and we had to vote which one it would be, who would go on Jackass?
It would absolutely be Mike.
Mike considers himself an extreme comedian.
Yes.
I'll do anything for a laugh. Anything. I'll do anything. I don't care. I'll do it. It's funny.
You eat stuff and throw up. You don't care if it's funny.
You've smeared human feces on money and tried to get people to take it.
Right. True.
You have.
You're that guy.
Yeah.
You've been in car crashes while carrying drugs and telling people, "Oh, you got nothing. We got drugs," and you've taken off after you destroyed their cars and laughed hard about it like you are now. Hard.
You've run over bums.
You've run over dead bodies. This is who you are. This is your life.
Right.
Let's keep that in perspective.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So we go back to the guitar. I don't remember. Mike says it happened. It's certainly something I would do. It's because I find. Whatever is not supposed to be done, I find funny. I don't know. Inappropriate. I find inappropriate or ridiculously over the top. Why would you do that behavior funny?
Right.
And so does Mike.
Right.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
You're both children.
So did Mike. I apologize. Did I say does?
No. Did.
Mike used to be that way. And then it all turned in Vegas when we were in Vegas. And he was on his cell phone. And he was leaning over really, really intense. And somebody come up, they want to take a picture. It wasn't important, but that's what's funny to me is it's not important.
Mm-hmm.
So I reach over and I slap his cell phone out of his hand, knock it to the ground. Now, he's done this to people in the office, right, when they're holding stuff, magazines.
Sure.
Or whatever. It's funny just to walk by somebody, they're reading something, they didn't do anything to deserve it, and you just smack it to the ground.
Right.
That's comedy.
But when you're reading something, you can't wreck it. You can wreck a cell phone.
Right, but did I?
No. Okay. And go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Okay. So I slapped the phone to the ground, and Mike turned, and I thought I was going to be beat up. I mean, I really, literally, and I was drunk enough that I would have fought. I was ready.
Oh, you should stop drinking if that crossed your mind.
I know. Like, he's trained, but I thought I can land one haymaker before he chokes me out. You know what I mean? Like, it was that scary.
I'm going to be a lawyer for just a moment on Mike's side and say, before Mike realized it was you,
right.
All he knew was some ass
right.
knocked yes. his phone out of his
right.
hand. So what you were seeing was the
yes.
look on his face as he turned
right.
to you.
Now, let's say there are 1,000 other incidents just like that where Mike is in my position. Don't you think that perhaps a guy who does that kind of stuff to people wouldn't be so upset by the fact that somebody does it to him?
You have a valid point, and I take that. You're right.
Okay.
I probably shouldn't have overreacted if I knew. But Lisa's exactly right. And what I've explained this
Once
situation
with. Once you locked eyes with me.
Sorry, I chilled out.
But it takes a second.
No,
Robert, full of S. You act like I got up out of my chair and was like, what's up, dude? I looked at you stunned because I was so
shocked.
It
wasn't stunned. It was rage.
Yeah,
it was. It wasn't because shock or surprise.
Lisa,
I was there.
Nope.
Once he locked eyes with Kevin and so what it was, it went from rage just to surly sulking, just like a seething anger as opposed to a flashing rage.
Listen.
And he turned his head away and he just kind of held the table and he shook his head and he was angry.
And then, even after he knows Kevin,
saw no humor in it whatsoever.
Let's go back to this story.
Okay.
Now, I was on the phone listening to a voicemail from
right.
our music director at the flagship station here,
right.
who was trying to explain to me detailed information about what we were supposed to do with the show. Hold on, before you interrupt. And during that time, there was a bunch of listeners and random Vegas degenerates
yeah.
coming up to the behind the stage
right,
area,
right.
and I was literally covering myself up trying.
Right.
As I had no idea if that was Wu-Tang's owner
or
a sloppy hummus that just smacked my back of my head,
right.
So,
but once you knew it was Kevin, you still didn't find it funny. You still had no sense of humor about it.
It was probably, in Mike's defense, it was probably only 3 or 4 seconds, but it was a full-on...
It was an intense 3 or 4 seconds.
I might kill you right now.
It was a Stallone movie, 3 or 4 seconds.
It really was crazy. And I, like I say, I was drunk. I would have lost, but I was ready to fight. I was like, I'm going to have to fight right now.
I'm not fighting anybody.
No, but I thought, with your look, I thought, okay. So, cut to Miss Double D, Friday. We're in Fullerton. Mike has a brand new car. He has a Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful brand new car. I've had conversations with him in the parking lot about it. So we're leaving, and he's sitting there, and Bean's in the car, and he's like, oh, look at this. And Bean said, yeah, does that have, can that record radio? And he goes, yeah, this can record radio. It's crazy. This is really, and everybody starts kind of coming around the car. So I think it would be funny to do the opposite of that.
If everyone is adoring the car, you decide to disrespect the car.
Right. I walk around the front of the car, and I stomp on the hood. Now, I'm not meaning to dent it or anything. I want to make some noise because I want everybody to go, what the? And everybody, I thought everybody, for 4 seconds, would just go, and then go right back to the car. Like, that was it. That's what I thought would happen. Mike got out of the car, and he looked at me like, why would you do that? What? Like, no mind has ever been more baffled by an action. It just, it was like I was from outer space, and there's no way he could ever process it. If he put his mind on it for the rest of his life, he'd never be able to understand it.
You're a madman, Kevin. That's the problem.
I didn't really get out of the car as much. I just stared at you, and I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word. So wait, there was the initial response where I stared at Kevin. I was a little confused as to why he would put his
out
foot
of the blue.
As a tall, larger guy would decide to stomp on the top of the hood of my car. So then Kevin's follow-up, recognizing my confusion, was to do it again.
Right, I wanted to make sure that you understood.
And then
I was disrespecting the car. Get the joke.
I was disrespecting the car everyone was admiring. Uh-huh. Just to be funny.
And I don't see where you feel like I didn't get the joke in that I
when
didn't really
you
do
said,
anything.
Why did you...
I mean, but you make it sound like I got out and would try to fight you or punch. I asked you, I said, what are you doing, Kevin?
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
That's a legitimate question.
I'm sorry, not for
Kevin,
Mike.
I sound like such a dick. What an amazingly over-the-top reaction. Bean, you were in the car. Am I underselling this?
I don't expect Bean to understand that because he's not you.
You're right.
Bean doesn't do stuff.
Bean's not a prankster.
Right.
I understand.
At all.
But my point is from other people who were there, Ralph wasn't there. Bean was. Was my reaction of that of a guy who was so upset or was not a prankster? Considering what went on, I think I handled it pretty cool and didn't really get in your...
If by that you mean you didn't beat me up, yeah.
Or say really anything.
Are you upset he didn't laugh?
Yeah, Kevin's point is I think that you didn't get the joke, that you didn't see the humor in that. Whereas you used to laugh because his brand new car was being stomped on.
He could find it not funny. But when he says, why would you do that? I go, what happened to Mike?
Well, it's just so out of the blue.
And all right.
Well, if I'm holding a newspaper and Mike comes along out of the blue and smacks the newspaper out of my hand.
Yeah, but
and
we
I
all
turn
do
him,
that
I
in
say,
this office all the time.
And I say, why would you do that? That doesn't even make sense, that question to you, because you know you did it because it's a joke.
I also think that there is a large difference when it comes to a brand new car and a
newspaper. So here we go. Here's the difference.
Well, yeah.
Rich Mike, poor Mike.
Yeah.
Well,
Poor Mike would have thought it was funny.
Okay. I miss Mike when he was funny and poor.
Yeah. Rich Mike no longer thinks that's funny.
Hitting stuff out of his hand, stepping on his car.
I would like to point out that I only I've made a big stink over two instances. One was a vintage guitar, and another one's a month-old car. I don't think it's too crazy
and
for
a phone.
Me. I didn't really care about the phone. You were more angry at my reaction to the phone. I didn't say anything about my iPhone. I could care less if you football spiked it. It was the fact that
he could have cared less, Ralph. I could have football spiked
it. I'm saying, why don't you?
He cared a lot, right?
Why don't you?
I miss Mike when he was funny and poor.
Did I care a lot about the value of the phone, or was I more upset about Kevin smacking the back of my head? The iPhone instance shouldn't be brought into this.
That's a perfect example of you jumping the shark from poor to rich man. Poor guy loves that humor, loves it. Can't get enough of it, does it with his friends. They destroy each other. It's always funny. Rich guy, how dare you?
Wait,
you hit my phone. I was on the phone. And then I said, what, are you talking to your mom? Did somebody die? No, it was a message from the music director. I was like, what?
That's a British accent.
I don't know. That's his rich accent.
I know. It's not like I came
and I
back
said,
into
wait
work.
A minute. It wasn't even a phone call. It was just a message? That means you could just pick it up and listen to it again now? How could you be that mad then?
Guys, we have to take a break here, but I do have to ask, because we've all had, rich or poor, we've all at one point had a car that was new to us, and that first scratch always hurts. It really hurts.
You really are dreading it.
you do everything you can to avoid that first damage to the car that's new to you, whether it's used or new. And I think that may have had something to do with it. Is he had a car that was in pristine condition, and now it's scratched up.
Yeah,
I think that
was part of it. It'll never
be the same
again.
It won't.
It's irreparable.
I almost had to have it towed.
I'm not suggesting that, but there is a difference between a car that's in pristine condition and a car that now has to be buffed out to get scratches out of it. And I can understand why somebody would think, wow, that's a dick move. I get that.
All right. How about this then? Mike, I'm going to give you the keys to my car. I'm going to drive your car today. I'm going to take it to a body shop, and I'm going to give them the, I don't know, $10 or $15 it'll take for some turtle wax to make that hood perfect.
Time
okay?
out. Time out.
No,
wait.
I'll do that.
Here's
I'll
the
do
thing.
That. Completely taken care of, just like new. No scratch, all good.
But it'll be pristine again. It'll
no, be no, because again. I think it's unfair you guys to come down to me as if I made a big deal about this. I was the one who came back to work the following week, this Monday, and I said, we should do a break called Kevin Hates Nice Stuff. I was totally in a good mood about it. Yeah, at the time, my reaction was that of misunderstanding. I didn't get the wacky joke.
That's my question, Kevin, I don't understand how you, of all people...
I think I had a pretty good sense of humor about it at the time, even though you were...
You do?
Yeah. Okay, all things considered.
I miss Mike when he was funny and poor.
All things considered, for like you said, I was showing people my new car and used to stomp on it with shoes on and stuff like that. It's not as if I got out and got angry with you. I never exchanged words with you about it from that point on. I never made a stink about it. I was baffled when it happened. I also, the first time you did it, didn't see you do it. So I actually looked at you as trying to figure out what happened. I didn't know if you threw something at the car. I didn't know if you stomped on it. But you act as if I made a stink about it. I didn't say one word to you.
He's not saying that you made a stink. He's saying that you didn't have any sense of humor about it.
I'm saying by not getting out and yelling at him, I did have a good sense of humor about it.
And you're jumping to the decision was that Kevin somehow doesn't like nice things. That's where your mind went to versus Kevin was playing jokes on me.
Right. I'm effing with you.
When I factored in a week before the fact that my guitar was leaning up against the wall and for no reason as you walked out to get a set, you kicked that too. I just got the impression that Kevin thinks it's funny to destroy nice things. And I'm saying, why not just come and kick the only other expensive thing I have, my TV, and just make it a perfect trifecta?
All right. Listen, we have to break, guys.
How funny
we
would that be? If he got home today, there's a foothole right through his TV.
We're getting some calls, by the way, and I think it might be interesting, as if we're going to have any time in the next segment, to hear from people who have this kind of relationship where they have destroyed their friend's stuff.
Or
vice versa. What has been destroyed and what has the reaction been? Because we already have some good calls on the line. It might be interesting to hear what else is going on out there. 1-800-520-1067. When we come back, these guys will kiss and make up too on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you're just joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're talking briefly about an incident that happened after the Miss Double December pageant. And by the way, go to the website, go to kevinandbean.com and check out the recap video of the Miss Double December pageant. It will make your whole day. It is safe for work, but just barely. But anyway, after that, Kevin threw a bomb and I don't know, in Mike's car window and it blew up and now Fulton's gone. I don't know what the details were. Here's an email before we get to your calls from Troy. If Kevin had stomped on my brand new car, there would be a new Kevin-shaped speed bump near the slide bar where you guys were broadcasting. Ooh. You messed with a man's ride at your own risk.
No, you didn't.
Possibly a risk involving a tire iron, and the caddy's trunk is big enough to move the body afterwards, assuming you've got the plastic lining and don't want to mess up the interior with blood this soon.
Right.
Troy has done the research, by the way. Wow.
And by the way, just for the record, I wouldn't do that to Troy's car.
Yeah, everyone who's getting upset because they're thinking about what if it was them, it would never be you.
It would never be you.
So that really can't factor in.
Because Mike sort of had that sense of humor where nothing is off limits. I mean,
according to the jingle, though, that's not the case anymore?
Not a bit.
I miss Mike when he was funny and poor.
We don't have much time here, but we have to talk to Johnny because apparently he has had a relationship like this with a friend of his. Johnny, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, dude?
Thank you. Well, I decided to play the drums on my friend's car, and everyone decided that it'd be a pretty much good idea to beat me up because I did that.
You were playing on his car with drumsticks.
Well, I had drumsticks, and then I was playing on the hood of his car. And,
right.
And then they said, you know what, that's a pretty dick move. And
is that
then,
the kind of relationship you had with him? Would he do that stuff to you or no?
I don't know if they would do that, but they would do stupid things to me, sure.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And you, now let me ask you this. Did you think it was really funny, like Kevin did when he was hopping on Mike's car, and then you were shocked that they did not go over big? Is it the same sort of story?
I thought it was hilarious, yeah.
Yeah. Gotta know your audience, Johnny.
Gotta know your audience. Certainly, I don't.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. All right, listen. How about night number one tickets for the Almost Acoustic Christmas concert, which is Saturday night? This is Smashing Pumpkins, Social Distortion, My Chemical Romance, Bad Religion. By the way, right there, you already got yourself a show. You're already getting more than your money's worth right there, right? Then you add Jimmy Eat World, Cake, A Day to Remember, The Dirty Heads, and Amberlin, all on one bill. I think we're going to play a title fight coming up next. Ralph and Lisa, are you guys going to compete against each other here?
It's been a while. I sort of retired. Miss Cleo sort of stepped in for
me.
Right. But she's no longer with us, so I guess I got to come back out and get my belt back.
Clocks and clocks.
Yeah.
She used to take on herself.
If you are a fan, particularly of the Pumpkins and Social D, you got a good shot at winning this game for night number one tickets in the pit. 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for contestants next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
So, we're cool?
Yeah, we're cool.
All right. You're running out of time. If you want to get free tickets to join us this weekend at the Almost Christmas concerts, right now we've got tickets for night number one to go see Smashing Pumpkins, Social D, Chemical Romance, Bad Religion, Jimmy World Cake, and so much more. We're going to do it with a little game we like to call the Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to
go to Acoustic Christmas.
Hey, wait a minute. That sounded edited.
That's a little red. Let's hello to our contestants. Pat is on line one. Let's bring Pat in here.
Hey, Pat.
Hi.
Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Pat.
And
hi.
Steve is on line five. He'll be our next contestant. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. Steve.
Good. Thank you very
Steve,
much. Good luck
Pat,
to
Steve,
both of you. Steve. Ralph, you do a pretty good job of explaining how the title fight game was played.
Lisa and I will each take a band that is playing at Almost Acoustic Christmas. And then what we're going to do is try to give you clues to the names of their popular songs without using any of the words actually included in that title. So from the clues we give you, you're going to have to guess the name of the song. There are five of them. If you're stuck for time, we can move on and come back to it later if we have time to get around to it. But the person who gets the most out of those five will be the winner.
All right.
Okay.
And I believe we have 45 seconds on the clock. Pat, we're going to let you pick who you'd like to be your partner.
Ralph.
Pat. You're going to be Ralph? So since you got to pick your partner, we'll make you go first.
Are we telling them the name of the band that we're going from?
I would say
sure,
once you open...
Because Lisa and I have these folded up. Yes. We have not seen the titles yet. We're doing this cold, so...
I would say once you open it up, you tell them the band and start going.
I hope I know who it is. Hope it's written on this piece of paper. Because I may not know all the songs.
So Pat and Ralph are going to be our first competitors. 45 seconds on the clock. We'll see how they do, and then Steve and Lisa will try to beat it.
All right, we've got to answer that phone first.
Already did that. So if everybody's ready to play, let's do it.
All right. These are Social Distortion songs. Here we go. You play basket, base, foot. This is the thing you play, a sport. Basket, blank, base, blank, foot, blank. It's a sport. Not orange, no.
No. I think he said ball and chase.
Okay. This is what, if you use a lighter cigarette, it makes this... this thing come out of it.
A vast virus database has been updated.
When I got married, I put on a wedding
ring of fire.
Okay. You know what? Everything happens to me is horrible, and I feel like all the fates
story
are against
of my
life. Me. All
great
the
guess.
Fate is against me, and I can't win the lottery. And nothing.
Oh man! Oh. Nice try with Story of My Life, but we were looking for bad luck that time. Bad luck. All right. Listen, two is not great.
No,
but it might win. We don't know. We don't know how Lisa and Steve are going to do. So keep your fingers crossed. Steve, you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right, Steve.
Lisa's going to rip open the envelope, tell you who the band is, and then name as many songs as you can in 45 seconds. Good luck.
All right. This is Smashing Pumpkins songs. This evening.
Tonight.
This is what you fire out of a gun, and you fire it at a beautiful insect with wings.
Nope. Can't say wings. Move on.
For God's sake.
Move on.
All right. Not tomorrow, but...
today.
Less than one.
The number zero.
Before... Right?
There you go. We got a winner.
That's three. Nicely done.
We got a winner.
I thought Lisa was going to quit.
I thought we were eliminated. Good job, Steve.
We're going to dominate, Lisa.
Yeah. Well done.
Lisa was literally putting her headphones down and walking out the door.
She pissed at me.
What was going on?
She was going out to kick Kevin's car. It was weird. I didn't really understand. All right. Steve, well played. Lisa, nice job. Congratulations. You are in the pit for night number one. Pat, I'm sorry you didn't win this time, but thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good luck. You got more chances
sorry,
coming up,
Pat.
All right?
Appreciate it.
Allison Hayslip, by the way, apparently joining us in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show from Attack of the Show and the American Ninja Warrior. By the way, she's almost from Philadelphia, Ralph. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Where's
Central
she from?
Jersey. Central Jersey. Yeah.
That's not even close to being almost Philadelphia.
What?
Compared to the West Coast.
Do I have a misunderstanding of geography? I thought that's about right.
No, South Jersey is close to Philadelphia. Central Jersey and North Jersey are much more close to New York City.
So you hate her then?
I do not. No, Jersey is a friend of mine. I like the Jerseyites.
Anyway, very excited to have Ms. Hayslip on the program for the first time. She'll be joining us here in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also from ESPN, John Brinkus will be here later on today talking about the science of sport and something special for you World of Warcrafters coming up later on today's Kevin and Bean Show, too. Now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, Mike's had a rough morning, so I want to make him feel better.
All right.
It's just been announced that they are already under production for American Psycho the Musical.
Oh, my God.
The movie American Psycho, starring Christian Bale, Psycho Mike's favorite movie of all time, is being made into a Broadway musical. And the producers tell The Hollywood Reporter there are murders. They are going to be on stage in full view of the audience. I think there's going to be a lot of blood.
Oh, my God. I have a boner.
Well, there has to be if they're going to make that.
Yeah,
but they're not going to, like, you know... Sometimes in a movie, in a show, they'll duck behind like a screen with lights behind it, and you'll see everything done in shadow and stuff.
Right.
Apparently, they're going to reproduce the murders live on stage with full special effects.
Now, are they really going to kill people so they have to hire new actors for every performance?
Actors are very excited because there's going to be a lot of work available in this play. Sure, you know, the gig won't last too long, but
not a lot of
you'll be
security.
On Broadway. What? And give up? Show business?
Psycho Mike, don't you wish you could act? Seriously, this would be the greatest role of your life.
It wouldn't really be acting because I'd just be portraying myself,
right.
You know, in
and
a more grandized
sing.
Manner.
I think we get him in an audition.
Let's get him in there.
Yeah. The show is being written by Duncan Sheik, by the way.
Who you may
remember for his hit single "Barely Breathing." Remember that song? I am barely breathing.
I think he rewrote
"Spring Awakening."
He wrote "Spring Awakening." Yeah. Yes, thank you, Broadway's Lisa.
This is awesome.
Hey guys, we're still in the air.
So that's going on for Psycho Mike, which is good news, right?
So exciting.
Good news for the rest of us. Alicia Keys, Lady Gaga, and Ryan Seacrest aren't dead anymore.
What? Oh, that ended? That whole thing ended? That digital death?
You may remember the story where Alicia Keys, who's got this charity, Keep a Child Alive, and her friends, Lady Gaga, and other celebrities, Kim Kardashian and that ilk, they all said they were dead on social networks. No Facebook, no Twitter, nothing. You'd hear nothing from them until the charity raised $1 million. And then they'd come back and give us the kernels of wisdom that they provide to us via Twitter and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all over. They're no longer dead. Sadly, they're back to life. Turns out that they raised $500,000. Fans pledged that much, and then some dude matched it.
Wow.
Oh.
So they raised their $1 million quicker than they thought. I was excited because the campaign for this charity was celebrities lying in coffins saying they're dead. Now, when I saw Ryan Seacrest is dead with him lying in a coffin, I got very excited. Yeah. It turns out it was just a publicity campaign.
Yeah. I will say that the last few days, Twitter definitely seemed taller without Seacrest on it.
Yeah, and less dumb with Lady Gaga and Kim Kardashian not tweeting. So, but sadly, those days are over. Now it's back to business as usual. And I know you're going to find this surprising, Kevin, because you think everyone who had a career before 1995 should die.
No, I don't.
But Bruce Springsteen's in the news.
I have to watch it.
He released a CD. It pretty much was basically outtakes from the making of his Darkness on the Edge of Town album.
From what year?
78.
78. That's usually what they do. They keep the best songs, and then they release the B-sides.
No, they release the best songs.
It's a
seminal rock and roll album. It was his follow-up to the Born to Run album, which was a smash hit.
Right.
And they have a documentary on HBO about the making of this. And so while compiling all this new media, they've put together a 2-disc CD of songs that weren't used on that album, some of which turned out to be great, but
like
just
this
not
one.
That's a great song, but not appropriate for the tone of Darkness.
It didn't fit.
On the Edge of Town. Springsteen put out this CD pretty much for the fans, not expecting anything to come off of it. But one of the tracks, Ain't Good Enough for You, apparently is blowing up and is moving up the Billboard charts. Looks like he's going to have another hit with a song that is 30 years old.
How about that?
How about that?
Ralph, have you gotten a chance to watch any of the concerts on the Blu-ray version of that?
I have not. I've seen the documentary, but not the concerts yet.
So good.
But
here's my favorite song.
Haven't invented
we have new chacaron? I didn't know that such a thing existed.
How exciting is that?
Is there an album? Is there a Chacaron album?
I don't know where we got it from.
Can we get some deep cuts? I'm so tired of the hits.
Sure. I want to hear the songs that didn't make that album.
I want the outtakes from that album on a two-disc set with a documentary that follows. So how did you feel when you were making the album?
Come on.
Did you have a hard time selecting the song? Documentary with Chacaron.
He's not resting on his laurels, man. He's expanding his sound with that new one.
Tuesday means new DVDs and CDs are in stores. Maybe to pick up the new Daft Punk soundtrack for Tron Legacy, a movie and soundtrack that I couldn't be more excited about.
Love Daft Punk.
Can't wait.
May I throw out a tip for the cheapsters of the world? Sure. Amazon.com, $3.99 for the Tron soundtrack today only.
What?
$3.99, yes.
Oh, buy a dozen. Buy a dozen.
Yes, get 12 of them.
Give them out as Christmas gifts. They make great stocking stuffers. Wonders of the Younger by Plain White Tees. Also a new CD available today. Endlessly by Duffy. How hot's Duffy looking these days on the cover of her album?
Kidding.
Yeah, she
with
looks
that.
Good. I always liked Duffy.
She loved me.
Of course, everyone does.
Everyone loves you.
Yeah.
Serious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm serious too.
You interviewed her at a Grammy roundtable or something, and you're telling me there were sparks?
Sparks weren't there. They weren't even at the
Grammys. She wrote in an interview how she loves this one Welsh beer that's really hard to find. So went all over L.A. knowing she was going to be at the Grammy Roundtable and found this beer and brought it to her. And she was like she just melted. It was just like a tidal wave. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's a great story. I wish I had the film rights. Inception, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Ken Watanabe.
Hey!
Available on DVD today. The final Shrek film, Shrek Forever After, is available on DVD as well. The Dog Who Saved Christmas Vacation finally is available on DVD. The Dog Who Saved Christmas Vacation. Kevin, it's that classic holiday special starring Dean Cain, Mario Lopez, and Paris Hilton.
Wow.
Is it new?
I'm sure Lisa's seen it.
I'm sure she has.
Yeah, of course.
She owns the Blu-ray.
Is it new?
Well, I'm assuming it is.
Wow.
The Dog Who Saved Christmas Vacation, starring Dean Cain, Mario Lopez, and Paris Hilton. We may need to get a copy
of
that.
Not Christmas, but Christmas Vacation.
That may have to go into the video vault. We'll have to pull it out and dissect that one, because that sounds special on so many levels.
Who's the worst actor in that bunch, Bob?
Wow. That's a coin flip. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tom Waits is 61. C. Thomas Howell is 44 years old today. Terrell Owens of the Bengals is 37. Nicole Appleton of All Saints is 35. Shiri Appleby from Roswell is 32. Jennifer Carpenter from Dexter is 31. And Aaron Carter celebrates his 23rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I didn't come to the meeting. Are we playing the thing first or introducing the guest first and then playing the thing?
Over the past 12 years, 2,500 athletes have attempted the Ninja Warrior course.
Hey!
Only three have ever succeeded. But now, the question is asked, can any American conquer the course? American Ninja Warrior begins December 8th, only on G4.
The answer, no.
Allison Hayslip joins us in studio. She is, am I correct to say, the host of American Ninja Warrior? Would you say that's accurate, Allison?
I am one of the hosts of American Ninja Warrior. I'm also joined by Matt Eisman and Jimmy Smith on the show.
First of all, you're way hot, and thank you very much for coming in.
Well, really, thank you. That's exactly what I hear at 7 a.m. in the morning.
It's super nice to meet you because we, of course, have been a fan of your work on the Attack of the Show for a long time now, and now I'm so excited that you're doing this show. And by the way, just as an aside, get G4 back on the DirecTV so I can continue to watch. Would you please? Could you make a call or do something?
We are working on it, I promise you.
Are that
you
still going
involved?
On?
Am I personally? No.
Yes. All right, well, maybe you need
they
to
don't
be.
Let me anywhere near the important stuff.
Oh, all right.
All right, well, let's since we brought it up, let's start by talking about the American Ninja Warrior. Now, this is a competition that I would be willing to bet most people have not heard of. Describe for us, please, what goes on the Big Mountain.
Well, it is one of those Japanese game shows, but I'm always hesitant to say that because people think Japanese game show and they think, you know, people trying to jump through holes and walls and like eating weird things. But this is actually...
Wacky.
This is a massive obstacle course that... I mean, Olympic champion athletes cannot even compete this course, complete this course sometimes. Like that really dramatic intro said, only three people out of like 2,500 have ever finished it. And you truly have to be a ninja, minus the like shurikens and throwing stars and things like that. It's ridiculous what these people have to do to get through this course.
I've watched that show for many seasons, and it's weird in that if no one makes it, they don't just take whoever goes the farthest.
Right.
It's not like they go, okay, now we'll back up to the level where we had four people. If you fail, you fail. That's There's it. No winner.
Right. It's a very odd concept
There's
for America.
There's no winner.
We're like, someone needs to win.
Right.
But like, literally, what, out of 22 seasons, they have not had a winner of this show.
And three they have.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow. What happens in the obstacle course? What sorts of things do people have to get past?
There's a lot of the first obstacle is almost always something that's along the lines of a quad step. They actually had a 12-step last season. 12-step, like we're in AA or something. It's not that.
You have to drink hard.
Where you have to like jump from platform to platform, and all of these obstacles are set up over these holes that are literally just dug into the ground and filled with muddy water. So if you mess up on the obstacle, you just plummet into freezing cold muddy water.
God. Yeah. And you're out.
And you're out.
It's not like you got to take do over or anything.
No, and I mean, you know, it involves like rope swings and running up basically vertical walls and sliding down poles, and I mean, it's everything that you kind of wanted to do as a kid thrown into one huge obstacle course.
But all things that you couldn't do, though you wanted to.
I mean, you're like, there's literally a rope swing that every time I see it, I'm like, that's exactly what you do if you're a pirate. And how many of us are actually pirates? None of us.
Not enough.
Well, first of all, you can't ask a ninja to do something a pirate would do because they hate each other. Remember that. First of all.
Right, true.
So how many people at the start of the competition are attempting to make it to the top?
Well, in the Japanese version, there's 100. But for American Ninja Warrior, we brought over 10 Americans from here in the States. We had our own competition, and that's what you'll start watching Wednesday night when it premieres. We had open tryouts in Venice, and I think we had over 300 people run the course. And, you know, through various stages of elimination, we got it down to 10, and we took those 10 guys over.
So you took them over to Japan to compete
Japan.
There.
Wow. Yeah, on the actual course.
Yeah. And what's the background of those people? Are they professional athletes?
Well, a lot of them are like parkour and free runner guys. And, you know, that's mm-hmm. that's a sport that's becoming incredibly popular these days. A lot of these guys are stuntmen in movies.
They have to be part gymnast almost, seems like.
We have a couple gymnasts. Yeah. We also have a couple rock climbers because a lot of these obstacles require a ton of upper body strength. I mean, people are literally hanging on to things by like half a fingertip and have to hold up their own body weight. It's insane.
Psycho Mike, you must be getting so moist right now just listening to this conversation about these buff dudes.
No, I actually checked out like the qualifying or the trial runs that they did down at Venice, and there's no correlation between like a guy looking athletic and being successful at it. Like
completely
some of the guys
agree.
Who were in tank tops all swole, look, you think like, oh, this guy's going to kick ass. He sucked, and then the tweaker in the Dickie shorts would run right through it. You're like,
I would say one of our guys who got very far ran the course the first time in jeans.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
It's insane what these people are capable of.
It is. Now, what do you win on American Ninja Warrior if you make it all the way? And what do you win if you're playing the Japanese version?
If you become the first ever American Ninja Warrior, you win $250,000 this year. Which is different than last year. Last year, you just did it for the honor. This year, you actually get something out of it.
We tried out honor like they do in Japan. It just doesn't work here.
I know.
You need
but,
money.
In Japan, if you're just doing the Ninja Warrior course in Japan, I do believe it's just for the bragging rights, basically.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bet you become worshipped in Japan if you're one of the three people that that has accomplished this, right?
They're celebrities. They are, they're absolute celebrities.
Was
even
one of them like that boat captain or fishing
Nagano?
Captain? Yeah. He's like a fishing boat captain.
Yeah, he's on the boat like over 200 days a year, and so he's built obstacles on his boat that he can train on.
Come on.
Yeah,
I mean, he's like the only one who will make it through. And
part about him, though, is that you'll watch him when he's off the course, and he's like standing off to the side, smoking a pack of cigarettes, and just like... joking around with people, and you're like, dude.
This sounds like nothing else on TV. Too bad I'm not going to be able to watch. American Ninja Warrior airs tomorrow night at 8 on G4. Now, it debuts tomorrow night. How many episodes are there going to be in the series, Allison?
There are 10 episodes total. Three of them are airing tomorrow, then three next Wednesday.
Oh,
and then
sweet. Okay.
The following week are the final four.
Cool. Our guest is Allison Hayslip. She is in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll come back and talk Attack of the Show and a bunch of other stuff going on with Allison right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Look, don't blame us if you don't have your tickets for this weekend's Almost Acoustic Christmas concerts, because we are giving them away. We're doing everything we can. In fact, next half hour, when you hear Amberlynn singing Feel Good Drag, just be caller 21, and you'll win tickets in the pit to see that show with Smashing Pumpkins, Social D, My Chemical Romance, Bad Religion, and so much more. We'll do that in the next half hour, so keep listening. Right now, on the Kevin and Bean Show, Allison Hayslip in studio, American Ninja Warrior debuting tomorrow night on the G4 at 8 o'clock. Allison, you have also seen for the last, how long have you been on Attack of the Show now? A couple years?
3 years now.
3 years.
Yeah, oh, wow. I know.
And I know that you are horribly bored with it, but it is true that you were basically discovered tending bar just by having a conversation with the dude about video games, and he turned out to work for the network, right?
That is very true. I was, working not too far from here, actually, at the Third Stop on Third Street, for those of you guys who know it, and just pouring beers and... I was actually wearing a Nintendo remote-controlled charm necklace that I have. And
wow.
Yeah, and this guy came in with one of my regulars, and we were all chatting, and my regular was like, Chris, you should totally know Allison. She plays video games. She should be on your network. And we got to talking.
That's
and
how it works?
Yeah, I know, right? And this guy, he quizzed me, and when he realized I actually knew what I was talking about, he was like, we need to be in touch. And he emailed me the next day, and he was like, I'm going to set you up with a meeting with our head of talent. So I went and met with her, and 2 weeks later, they brought me in for a screen test, and like 2 weeks after that, they hired me for my first gig. And wow. I had no idea what I was doing. I had never hosted a day before
was
in my
life. Was that your... plan or not even?
No, well, I mean, I'm an actor, so I was out here doing that, but I mean, I had never seen a teleprompter. I did sure. not know how to interview anyone. I had no clue, but they just threw me into it, and I somehow picked it up, and here I am 3 years later on K-Rock.
That's crazy. Now, you're an actor. Are you still doing that? Do you even have the time to pursue that now? Because it seems like you already have a couple of full-time jobs.
Yeah, I know. I work like 12 jobs at G4. I do still pursue it. I actually shot a movie back in March and April. Right now it's called Division 3. I have a feeling that the title of the movie is going to change before it gets released. But it's a football comedy starring Andy Dick. So it's, needless to say,
a
insane.
A football comedy yeah. starring Andy Dick.
I know. You weren't ready for that.
No.
Because he wants to tackle and be tackled? Is that why? Or?
He actually plays the coach. And believe it or not, he makes a really scary coach.
Okay. There's no way that movie's good, Allison. I'm just being honest with you.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
I'm sure you're terrific at it.
Look, now, listen, I need to get high, and then she can tell me to run it by me again, and let's give it another go.
What is going on with Attack of the Show? The Munster's out, right? Olivia's too big for y'all, right?
Correct. Yes,
she's gone. And what are they doing? What are they doing about co-host with Kevin though? Is that you or is that the other chick?
Well, they announced yesterday that Candace Bailey will be hosting Attack of the Show starting in 2011.
But she's not you.
That is a true statement.
Why would someone give
statement.
The job to someone who's not you, though? That doesn't make any sense.
You're going to have to ask the network yeah. that question. I don't know.
I have a highlight from her on Attack of the Show.
Okay, I'm bored of you. I'm going to the stripper pole.
Okay, so it's you have that person. You use that person.
There you go. There's a severe lack of stripper pole in the studio, by the way.
You're right.
Now, we get the impression when you're working over there, by the way, that it's like an 11-year-old fantasy gig. I get the impression that there's nothing but horsing around. There's nothing but playing games. There's nothing but shooting hoops and eating junk food. Is that
well,
what it's like to work
shoot
on a show
hoops.
Like this?
We're
no
nerds.
Shooting hoops. Yeah.
We will.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, we
that's
have video athletic. Games in the office, so we'll do
you
that.
You play NBA 11,
yeah,
but
exactly.
you don't shoot hoops.
There's not actually a basketball net anywhere near us. But
do you,
yeah,
do you
the
get
most
to take
part,
copies of games home?
I do, but not as often as people would think. Since we're technically a review show, we really can't accept gifts because then it looks like we're getting bought. So my friends like to think that I'm swimming in free video right. game stuff. But yeah, it's not as much as I would like it to be, having the job that I have.
Right.
Yeah.
You should step it up is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Under the table somehow.
Send me the free stuff, people.
Right. Of course. That's
we
the
have
most important part.
We have Frank Pierce coming up from the World of Warcraft, the Cataclysm that's coming out this week, and he's coming up later on today. Have you played that yet?
I am not an I don't play MMOs. Yeah. I don't have enough time to play MMOs. I appreciate them for what they are, and
right.
I think that the fan base that they draw is unbelievable, the amount of people who will play these games.
But they are the nerds of the gaming community, right?
They are. The nerds of the nerds.
Yeah. So you look down on them, basically.
No, not at all. I actually kind of look up to them that people have that much commitment to give to a game like that. I mean, I don't have that kind of attention span. I'll sit down and play a game at the longest, maybe like 3 or 4 hours, but these people will play all night long.
Yeah, for a week, some of them.
Yeah, I mean,
really, literally.
So people have died playing these games for too long.
What are your favorite video games? What's the ones that you most enjoy to play just for pleasure?
I love destroying zombies, so any game that involves zombies, I'm a huge fan of. Left 4 Dead 2 is probably my favorite zombie game. I was also a huge fan of the latest Prince of Persia that was out about a year and a half ago. What?
I hear the game was better than the movie, right?
Oh, the game was much better than the movie. Although the game did not have Jake Gyllenhaal, so it was lacking on that. But the game was super fun, although had one of the most frustrating endings I had ever witnessed in a video game. It was an ending that basically undid the 15 hours of work you just put into the game.
Oh.
And I was like, why? Why did I do that?
Wow.
Prince?
That's a bummer.
Damn you, Prince.
That's the beauty of being me and never getting to the end of a game.
Right, there you go.
You don't get disappointed.
True.
Hey, if you want another frustrating ending, I understand Psycho Mike would like to take you out.
Oh, wow.
I can almost guarantee a frustrating ending there.
Yeah, it'd be a lot shorter than the 4.5 hours you spent on Prince of Persia. It'd
be the worst 4.5 minutes of your life, Allison. All right. So American Ninja Warrior is what we're talking about. It comes out tomorrow. And you said it's a marathon tomorrow, right? Three episodes in a row, is that right?
Correct. 3 episodes tomorrow, 3 episodes next week, and 4 episodes the following week.
Fantastic. That debuts at 8 o'clock on G4. And by the way, just as a PS, if you are a fan of Allison like we are, we understand you are the star of the brand new video, too, by the band Brand New.
I am. I mentioned that when I came in here today. Because Kurt St. Thomas DJs on K-Rock every once in a while.
Right.
He actually directed the video that I did with Brand New for the Quiet Things That No One Ever Knows.
How about
in the day.
That?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so
it
you
is
can
a
check
small
that
world.
Out. Yeah. I know.
All right, Allison. Well, good luck with all of your many shows and all of your many bad Andy Dick movies and all of your many Brand New videos.
Thank you very much, sir.
Great to finally meet you. We're big fans of yours. You're welcome anytime. And folks, watch American Ninja Warriors tomorrow night at 8 on G4. Allison, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys. Thank
you. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. What is the most weight humans can bench press? That is one of the many fascinating questions that John Brinkus tackled in his new book called The Perfection Point. We'll be talking about that coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat and tickets to the advanced screening of True Grit, the new Coen Brothers movie. All that on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the Afro Line. You call us. We play it back on the radio, 323-520-AFRO. What are people talking about today?
They're talking about drinking.
That was a Clippers call?
Yeah.
So if you call and go crazy like that every single time the Clippers win, then you've made that call, what, 4 times this season?
And total by the end of the season, probably. I need more detail, because this could be anything.
Kevin, why do you annoy me so much? Kevin, why do you annoy me so much? Hey!
I mean, really, couldn't it be 100 different things? How am I supposed to narrow it down?
Kevin, I'm Kevin.
Hey, what? Look, the Afro line is where you call and leave comments or talk about things. It's not a beatboxing audition line.
Wrong. We don't get enough beatboxing. It needs to come back, people. Come on now.
Four Loko, bitches! Four Loko!
Somebody's been drinking a little too much Four Loko before that phone call.
Fran Drescher is getting her own talk show. Stop it, America.
Yeah, that's happening, right? Super annoying voice girl getting her daytime talk show?
Yeah.
I'm afraid so.
Yeah.
Psycho Mike, there's nothing wrong with having a small penis.
Thank you, dude. All right. I appreciate it. Finally, yeah.
A little encouragement for you. This dude thought he was in for hell, but it turned out not to be so bad.
So my girlfriend had me go to see Love and Other Drugs this weekend. I was expecting to just want to kill myself 5 minutes in. Then 15 minutes into the movie, I get to see Anne Hathaway's boobies. And 17 minutes into the movie, I get to see Anne Hathaway's boobies. And 21 minutes into the movie, there's a lot of Anne Hathaway boobies. It's amazing. Amazing.
Movie's pretty funny. I laughed out loud a couple times. But did I mention Anne Hathaway's boobies? I love boobies.
Yeah.
All right. So you act like you're taking one for the team. Listen, honey, if you want to go see that movie, I'll go with you.
It's the perfect movie.
Because
for
I care about you. It seems like a win-win for the date movies this month because right. You can take your lady to see Love and Other Drugs, or you can take her to see Black Swan, which are both kind of chicky,
yeah.
But they both have like some good stuff. Nudity and some hot lesbian action, yeah.
Hey, everybody on the Kevin Bean Show. This Kevin, I'm in parking lot and I lost key card. What did you do?
Wow. What morning was that? I can't even remember that call.
I don't even remember the number. I don't know how I got through.
Lisa, may I go?
Come on.
Wow.
That's the best motorboating I've ever heard.
How do you mix chacarone and motorboating?
Well done.
It's really well done.
You guys aren't going to believe it. I just saw Santa Claus in a helicopter, and he's playing a flute. Oh, wait. I think that's Santa Carl.
Santa Claus in a helicopter.
Do we have some of that, by the way? Because we have not given that its proper due, the new holiday hit from Wing.
This Wing is a beautiful song about Santa Claus on a helicopter.
Yes.
Not a traditional sleigh cart.
Not a traditional sleigh cart.
Santa Claus on a helicopter. Santa Claus.
I always think at the beginning of American Idol, these people can't possibly think they sound good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The really bad ones, there's no way they really hear in their head, like, this is beautiful. I'm nailing it. And that's what you think about her, but she's putting out like 19 albums.
She thinks she sounds good.
She loves it.
Santa Claus, he visit us today, December 24th. Wow, he's coming right now in an helicopter. Not a traditional sleigh cart.
She needs to make that clear. It's not the traditional sleigh cart.
Right.
Santa Claus is in a helicopter.
He lands in the front yard of a nursery.
Okay.
Oh, the baby's time for moms. He feeds them well if they are hungry.
All right, we don't know what happens there, so
it can't be good.
We're going to have to cut that short.
Ralph Garman joins us about this time every hour on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk about what's going on in Hollywood. What's happening, Ralph?
Yeah, about this time's right. Whenever Kevin and Bean let me, how it rolls.
You
that's
got plenty of time. Rolls. This is not the hour to be mocking, by the way. You've got all the time you need right now.
Hey, you know what? Since I've got time, I should give away those tickets to that cool thing I got going on.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
If you remember what it was, you'd do it, wouldn't you?
He sure is looking around.
I know what it is. I just don't have the details, but I'm just gonna wing it.
All right.
December 14th at the Arclight in Hollywood is what you're looking for.
There you go.
I've got passes to give you, fine Kevin and Bean listeners, a very special advance screening of True Grit.
Yay!
Oh my God!
If you're not excited about this movie, you're an idiot. Because it's going to be awesome. You got the Coen brothers and their take on a classic Western, maybe my favorite Western ever. John Wayne starred as Rooster Cogburn in the original back in 1969, it was. Also, it was Kim Darby starred and. This is just a circus. Anyway, the Coen brothers are doing their take, and they got Jeff Bridges as a star. It's Rooster Cogburn. Could not be better. Could not be more amazing. Could not be more excited.
I don't know the original, but
it's
I do
a great film.
I
but
do
I
love
think
the Coen
brothers. Make it even better.
You do okay. I love the Coen brothers. So
if that's at all possible,
I'm in.
Josh Brolin also stars. Matt Damon's also in this film. Boy, am I looking forward to this! It is a very special Kevin and Bean advance screening of True Grit on December the 14th at the Arclight Theater in Hollywood. A better theater to see a movie in, you'd be hard-pressed to find, my friends.
It's true.
It's a great theater. True Grit is in theaters everywhere on December the 22nd for the lucrative holiday gift-giving season. However, you will see it before anybody else if you're one of the first five callers at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call to get passes to the very special screening of True Grit. You'll probably see me there. I'm telling you. That's how excited I am.
Wow.
I'm going to take advantage of our own screening, and I'm going to go.
You're going to run up and down the aisles going, woo, I'm excited.
I'm going to wear chaps
and a hat, and that's it. And an eye patch. And an eye patch, because Rooster Cogburn has an eye patch.
Sure.
Only I'm not going to put it on my eye.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Let me think. No.
It's going to be a giant eye patch. That's all I'm telling you. It's going to be like a Cyclops eye patch to cover up, you know.
Your elbows?
My elbows, yeah. Thanks. Congratulations to Kelsey Grammer. He's getting married again.
Real people never learn.
Oh, Kelsey. You should start drinking again, too, and driving. Just get back to it all. Just get back to all of your very successful behaviors. Remember when he racked up his Viper? He bought a brand new Viper.
That's right.
And just wrapped it around a pole after boozing. But apparently he is sober now, and now just addicted to stupid decisions when it comes to his personal relationship.
Is this fourth marriage?
At least
fourth
if you marry someone who's 35 years younger than you are, it has a good shot at working out.
He just divorced his last wife, Camille. You remember her. She had the IBS.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. We do, yeah.
Yeah.
That was July, and now already engaged to get married again to his new girlfriend, Katie Walsh. So congratulations, Kelsey.
Maybe the IBS is a deal breaker.
He couldn't stay with her any longer because of the IBS?
Yeah, don't you think?
Well, you know. The Dutch ovens get old. She's on that
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She's one of those. And for the first half of the season, Kelsey Grammer was on it as her husband. I mean, because it was filmed a while ago. It was a little bit awkward seeing them interact together and knowing that they secretly hated each other and couldn't wait to divorce.
And then the rest of the season, she was going... You know who else is getting married? Danny Bonaducci. Oh, she's a lucky girl. Us Weekly reports that... I'm sorry, they already got married in November. And no one noticed. Her name's Amy Railsback. And they got married October the 22nd, apparently.
How about that?
Congratulations. Just good decisions across the board today with all
of Did he meet her at a celebrity boxing event or anything like that?
No, he's known her a while. She's the one... When he was living in L.A., they were together.
Oh.
She was that school teacher. He started
dating. I liked
dating.
That Lisa Gretchen.
With our Bonaducci update.
Who knows any of that and why?
The Gretchen that he was married to that we had on the show a few times.
Right?
I liked her very much, by the way.
Right.
If I did know that, I would go out of my way to try to forget it. I would have to get surgery or something to have that removed if
Lisa
I had that information. She does.
Wow.
Kevin, we are an endangered species on this show.
No kidding.
Slowly starting
people who
to
don't
creep
care
in.
About anything ever?
Starting to creep in. It's first Psycho Mike, now Lisa, Bean, of course, is the leader of the band.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. I'm scared. Angelina Jolie.
Oh, let me tell you about her.
Let Chelsea Handler tell you about her. I don't know if you've been following this story.
No.
But there's footage on the intranet about Chelsea performing in New Jersey. Going off on Angelina, calling her a effing C-word,
nice.
An effing bitch, and she's a homewrecker, and she's a horrible person. She doesn't care how many children she adopts. It won't make up for the fact that she's horrible C-word, B-word.
Wow.
Where's this coming from? What's
well, that's
impetus?
What people are wondering. People are saying, why is this unfunny whore from E going off on a talented, beautiful star like Angelina Jolie? Well, perhaps it goes back to the fact that this recent Thanksgiving, Ms. Handler was in Mexico enjoying a fully paid-for vacation thanks to her new BFF, Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
And they were hanging out, you see, and now suddenly Chelsea Handler doesn't like Angelina Jolie, calling her a homewrecker. Where could this be coming from? Where could all this bile be stemming from? Oh, I'm confused.
A story 10 years ago?
Yeah. So apparently Jennifer isn't over yet because she must have been bitching over mojitos.
How about that?
About Angelina, and now Chelsea Handler has herself a new enemy.
You are spending your vacation with Chelsea Handler?
Oh,
I mean, really?
What kind of effed up whore is Jennifer Aniston if that's the person she wants to hang out with? Can you imagine? That's why Aniston can't keep a man.
Look, character flaw.
I like Jennifer Aniston. I like her a lot.
Do you?
I do.
Do you know her?
If Brad Pitt, well, she was in Kevin and Bean's Rockstar, remember?
Oh, that's
right. If
Brad
Pitt left her for Angelina Jolie, it's because Angelina Jolie is better than her. So just get over it.
But why did every other man leave Jennifer Aniston? That's the question we have to ask.
Yeah, right.
Why is she spending her spinstress vacation with Chelsea Handler, getting sauced in Mexico, banging cabana boys? Because that's all that will have you.
Whore. Gold digger.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I've made this sort of a staple, a tent pole, if you will, of the Hollywood Babylon show that I do with Kevin Smith.
Chelsea Handler? Or
yeah,
what?
Chelsea. Yeah. I do a Chelsea Handler update weekly. Oh, come out this Friday, folks. Come out this Friday to the John Lovitz Comedy Club. because
I think I am, by the way, it is going
to be spectacular. Because, see, as much as I love this radio program, I am hemmed in by the type of language I would like to use while discussing Chelsea Handler.
Correct.
No such reins on me on Friday nights. So come on out and join us, won't you?
Isn't your Chelsea Handler update very similar to Chelsea Handler's language opinion around Angelina Jolie?
Yes. Yes, only one deserves it and one does not.
All right.
So it's going to be a good time Friday. I guarantee. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? I know I get booed when I say this, but NBA legend Larry Bird celebrates his birthday today.
Murder.
Look, I was a Sixers fan back in the day when the Sixers were going up against the Celts, too. I know he was an unpopular player at the time.
Maybe the ugliest NBA player ever, though, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really.
Sam Cassell.
Well, I don't know. It's a race.
Worst-looking white guy.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
You seen Larry Bird lately?
That mustache? Remember that mustache? That cheesy mustache? Hideous mustache. Worst mustache ever.
I don't get why Kevin and Mike can't, now that Bird is long retired, just give him the props he deserves for being one of the great NBA players of all time.
He just represents the Celtics to us.
Yeah, so he did his job and played for his team hard while he was an athlete.
But we're allowed to hate him.
So do you hate Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle because they were Yankees?
I like baseball, maybe.
All the like Nazi lieutenants that fled to Argentina, they stopped killing Jews a long time ago. Should we just forgive them?
Yes. That's a perfect example of Larry Bird.
It is. I think comparing the Celtics to the Nazis is apropos.
Although it's rather offensive to the Nazis, if you ask me.
Hey, so that's a pretty reasonable reaction, huh?
54 years old today. C. Thomas Howe is 44. Terrell Owens is 37 years old. Terrell Owens ruined my Eagles. It destroyed my team. Was a cancer in the locker room. Now that he's not there anymore, I'm good with Terrell.
You don't care?
I'm good with Terrell.
Yeah.
I hope him and I was rooting for him and Ocho this weekend.
But he only ruined your team for a year, right?
That's true, yeah. But he did a good job.
Yeah.
Nicole Appleton of All Saints is 35 years old today. Shuri Appleby of Roswell is 32. Jennifer Carpenter of Dexter is 31 years old today. And Aaron Carter, legendary boy singer, is 23
Legendary boy.
He's a legendary boy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What's he whispering at the end of that song? Something about a bag of hose?
Super
What's going on there?
Massive black hole.
Oh, black hole. That's what it is. All right. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Trying like hell to give you your tickets to join us this weekend for the Acoustic Christmas Concerts. Several ways to win still to come, including when you hear the song Holiday by Vampire Weekend, when you do be caller 21, and win your tickets in the pit for night two. We've talked about that great show, Sports Science, before. And our guest on the phone right now, John Brankus. I have seen on the YouTube getting kicked, getting a soccer ball kicked in his head from Edson Buttle. Have you seen that clip, Kevin?
That's
hilarious.
Yes. Always
hilarious. One of the many things he's done on Sports Science, and now he has a new book out called The Perfection Point, which sounds like it's going to start a lot of arguments around the bar. Let's welcome John to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, John, thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
The Perfection Point. Sports Science predicts the fastest man, the highest jump, and the limits of athletic performance. That title pretty much sums it up. But how'd you go about figuring out all this stuff?
What we wanted to do is Sports Science obviously puts the ultimate athletes to the ultimate test. And we've had over 250 world-class athletes in the lab doing all kinds of crazy experiments. But to me, the ultimate question is not, well, what could a human being do today? The question is, what can human beings do just as a species? What is the fastest we could possibly run? What's the highest we could possibly dunk a basketball? You can figure out this number. You can at least speculate on it, because we all can agree that you're never going to run 100 meters in 1 second. Human beings will never be able to go that fast.
Right.
But we certainly will be able to run faster than 9.58, which is the current record. So there's got to be some point at which human beings can go no faster.
Interesting. So how do you go about, I mean, that's a perfect example, the 100 meters. How do you go about figuring out what that number is?
Well, first what you have to do is break down, well, what makes up a great time? So there's reaction time out of the blocks. There's elevation of the actual track. There's size of the actual athlete. There's the kind of equipment that's being used. There's the legal wind. There's all different kinds of factors. And if on the perfect day, the perfect human being were to run the perfect race, you can whittle down a hundredth of a second by a hundredth of a second and get down to a time that I think is scientifically defensible.
You know what's funny about this, though, is that you throughout your book, there are examples where we have thought in the past that you can do no better, like the mile, for example.
Right.
Absolutely.
No one broke 4 minutes for thousands of years, and then some dude breaks 4 minutes, and now all of a sudden everybody's doing it.
Exactly, and that's really the point of the book, is that look, something like the mile, the four-minute mile was the ultimate barrier. And when you think about it, as humans, that actually was a silly barrier. It took us hundreds of thousands of years of evolution just to break the four-minute mile. Then as soon as we did it, 46 days later, we did it again. Then within 300 days, I mean within the next 10 years, 300 times was the four-minute mile broken. That's once every 12 days.
Okay, so... So when it seems like if you come up with an answer, which is the fastest that somebody can run, it can't possibly be scientific.
Right. Well, what's interesting about this is that no one's ever really sat down and said, all right, take the mile as an example. I mean, certainly human beings are never going to run a one-minute mile. We all can agree on that.
I don't know that for a fact.
Well, we know that.
So it depends who's chasing you with a frying pan.
Right, exactly. So we all can agree on the ridiculous, on the totally absurd.
Right.
So what I want to do is say, well, if you were to just sit down and scientifically say, if everything were perfect, what would that number end up being? And everyone says, well, yeah, but won't you ultimately just break that number because that's the barrier? Well,
yes.
The answer is no.
The answer is yes to that.
Well, the answer ends up being no, because you're never going to reach a one-minute mile. Now, we know that.
Now, you were talking about Usain Bolt as well in the 100-yard, 100-meter, whatever, whichever it was. And he, of course, in the Olympics in China, just shattered the world record and pretty much slowed down for the last quarter of the race.
Yep. And what I do is I actually use that race in Beijing and break it down, factoring in even when he slowed down. But he's actually broken the record since then.
Right, he's run faster than that.
Exactly. So he's now at 9.58. And when you look at sort of quantum leaps that have occurred in athletic performance, you have like the Bob Beamon jump, you have the Usain Bolt 100-meter record. There are just these anomalies that come along. But what they actually do is they ultimately do normalize. There will be several people who are able to run that fast as time goes on. It's just like the 4-minute mile. You have sort of these outliers, as Gladwell would say, that just sort of break out of the mold. But one of the reasons why you have these giant leaps in something like the Bob Beamon long jump or the 100-meter dash is that actually worldwide there aren't that many people doing it. So you don't have a giant data set for something like the 100-meter dash. There aren't millions of races in a year.
But your book, including the chapter on holding your breath, where they used to think, 3 minutes would cause brain damage? And there are people that can hold their breath for 7.5 minutes. I mean, basically it's all of human knowledge thinks one thing, and then somebody comes along and changes it. And
absolutely,
it sounds like that's
what makes it interesting, though. That's why it's a great topic.
I know, but it sounds like that fights against the idea that you can scientifically come up with a fastest moment, because that's going to get broken by somebody at some point.
But there is, just think about it. You can start this. The reason why this argument is so rich is if you take holding your breath. Certainly, a human being will never be able to hold their breath for a day. I mean, we can all agree on that. So if a 7.5 minutes is the current record, there's got to be a point between 7.5 minutes and a day where human beings can no longer hold their breath. And what you do is you break it down and literally say, what's the maximum lung capacity possible? What are the ideal conditions that could occur for holding your breath? And when you take all of these topics, what's really interesting about the book is that no one's ever sat down and scientifically said, but what are the factors that make it up? Because there are absolute limits. And two of the questions that always come up is, well, won't the human species eventually evolve? I mean, maybe we can hold our breath for a day because we evolved to be a fish. But we're not even going to speculate on what we evolved to, because that's millions and millions of years.
Right.
We're talking about human beings currently today. Then everybody says, well, what about performance enhancement drugs? I mean, don't those change the equation? I'm just assuming that the greatest athletes are doing something to make themselves better, whether or not it's legal or illegal or on a list or not on a list. I'm just assuming that they're going to be doing something that maximizes the human form. Performance enhancement drugs are just one of the things that athletes do to really peak out their performance.
Are you going to write another book in 10 years that's called I Was Wrong on the Perfection Point? Here are my new theories.
It's going to be buy book number two.
It's fascinating to try to go through and look at, you know, all of the different scientific proof that you bring up. I mean, it is fascinating to try and nail down a number.
Absolutely. I mean, I wanted to create the ultimate water cooler book because, truthfully, when you sit down and you really think it through and you really say, all right, well, what is the best that we could possibly do? I've broken down the argument for us to at least have a launching point and say, look, if you don't agree with it, try to back up and find some sort of scientific proof that says that these numbers are wrong. But also, these numbers certainly give us something to shoot for, and maybe somebody does end up breaking it. But I think that when what you look at what the perfection point actually is, it's the asymptote on the graph. It's the point at which we'll always get closer, but we'll never be able to cross.
John, let me ask you this question before we say goodbye, and that is, nobody ever thought a quarterback could play as long as Brett Favre has. It's not unrealistic to think that there might be a 50-year-old NFL quarterback sometime in the next 20 years, right?
Yeah, I mean, especially with things like HGH floating around,
right,
where it's undetectable, and you know, people are starting to do it earlier and earlier in their lives, and you can heal. I mean, I would say I don't think it's unforeseeable that you have 50-year-old athletes. And remember, when George Foreman made his comeback, he was 40, and the world was like, oh, my God,
yeah.
How can an athlete do box at 40? Now
right.
There's tons of people. Like, Evander Holyfield's 47.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It's insane. So we're getting old. I mean, Evander Holyfield could be fighting till he's 50. I mean, it's crazy how athletes are just getting better and better as they're older and older. And it's not necessarily because of things like HGH. It's just we as a species, we eat better, we train better, we are really able to fine-tune the mechanics of the human body better just because as you go along, you learn more.
Wow.
So it's really interesting.
It's a fascinating topic. John Brankus is our guest, by the way, the host and creator of the show called Sports Science. Now he's taken what he's learned there and taken it to the next level, the perfection point. Sports Science predicts the fastest man, the highest jump, and the limits of athletic performance. The book is available everywhere, not just perfectionpoint.com. Is it in the stores and Amazon, the whole deal, John?
Yep, it's literally available everywhere, distributed by HarperCollins.
And if you want to meet John and get your copy signed, it might make an outstanding Christmas gift. You can do that tonight if you're in the Los Angeles area at the ESPN Zone at LA Live. Great timing because you're going to be down there just ahead of the Lakers-Wizards game at 7:30. So stop on by and meet John starting at 6 o'clock to get your copy of The Perfection Point signed. John, thanks for coming on The Kevin and Bean Show, man. We enjoyed talking to you.
Really appreciate it, guys.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, why not another Internet Roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
So basically, we spend all of our time on the internet so you don't have to. And then we pretty much just put the gold up at kevinandbean.com so you got one-stop shopping for all the latest and greatest new videos.
One is a German car stunt. It's like a stuntman TV show. And a car comes at him and a guy jumps and the car goes underneath him. And then the guy lands on his face and he's quite possibly dead. I'm not sure. It looks like he's in a coma or something and all the judges are going crazy.
This happened in Germany?
It's one of the weirdest clips you'll ever see. You have to go watch it.
They make a lot of good stuff in Germany.
They do, yes. Nothing goes wrong in Germany. The cup size choir is one that I believe Ralph found, and that's where you get a lingerie model with an A cup, and then a lingerie model with a B cup, and a C cup, and a D cup, and an E cup, and then they sing those. They lay down in beds, and then they sing Christmas songs.
In those keys.
Each of them sings their note based on their cup size. Now, that doesn't sound sexy. But you have to watch it.
I'm sure it's sexy.
That's all visual right there.
I am furiously writing Christmas songs with nothing but D, E, and F notes, too, by the way.
Of course, we introduced you to Wing, Santa Claus on a helicopter. This is a video for
Santa Claus on a helicopter. Santa Claus on a helicopter.
You have to see that just for no other reason to see Wing.
Look, you already know. You've heard her songs. You already know how talented she is. Watch the video and see how she's also very sexy.
Yeah. Ooh. Bean, where'd you find the hand model chick that's the craziest woman alive?
I don't know, but it's funny because we were talking about the hand model whose hands are on the front of the Twilight book and talking about what a crazy nut job she was a couple of weeks ago.
She wasn't getting enough notice, so she was out in front of like Barnes & Noble's trying to sign books and stuff.
Right. This woman makes a living as a hand model and is one of the craziest people I've ever seen in my life. I don't know which clip you pulled here, but the part where she's talking about what she doesn't do to protect her hands... It's unbelievable the life she lives just to keep her hands unblemished, but check out how crazy she is.
Why do advertisers like your hands?
I like to say that my hands look good naked. They just emanate, like radiate health. I view my hands as elite athletes, like Olympic athletes.
Yeah, that's the clip that we pulled, but the whole thing. And by the way, Bean, I don't know if you've looked at some of the other side videos on there, longer versions of her being interviewed. she doesn't do, you know, dishes or anything. She always wears gloves, and she's crazy.
She wears gloves all the time, Lisa. Every day,
oh,
all day.
Oh, my God.
But she's also super successful.
She doesn't clean.
Does she make a lot of money?
I mean, she stays busy. They show 1,000 ads with her hands. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's worth it. So, that's bizarre, though.
But she's crazy. Can you imagine
being... They're athletes, her hands.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's a reporter talking to Tom Brady about his hair.
What's the deal with your hair?
Why does everyone always want to talk about my hair? I mean, it's no big deal. Why don't you go talk to somebody else about their hair?
I immediately flew coach class to California where Justin Bieber was on tour. He couldn't have figured I was coming.
I figured you'd be here, man.
What's the deal with your hair?
Seriously, bro. What's up with Brady's hair? I own this look. He's like 40. He's going to be gray soon. He's going to look stupid.
That's very funny, by the way. That's Kenny Mayne, who's doing the interviewing for Funny or Die. You got to check out the whole video. Tom Brady, by the way, really great sense of humor, considering it's the stuff that people really are making fun of him about these days.
You remember I'm on a Horse?
Oh, of
sure.
Course.
Commercial. Well, in England, they have something called Page Three Women. And basically, that just means on page three of the newspaper, there's a woman with giant cans.
Yeah.
And most
topless.
Most of the time, they're topless, yeah.
Put down, back up. Where are you? You're on a beach with the woman you'd secretly love your woman to be like. What's in your hands? Back at me. They're my coconuts. I'm on a car.
So that's there.
And she's worth watching.
She's worth watching.
Okay.
We gave you a little glimpse, I think, last week of We Are the World 25.75, which is a bunch of comedians getting together and singing We Are the World.
Now, the sales from this new terrible version of an already not that great song will benefit the L.A. Regional Food Bank. Now, I want to stress that these are not singers, and this does not sound good at all. In fact, a lot of it's just horrible. And remember, laughter is the best medicine, but food is the best food.
It's got a point. I mean, that's hard to argue. This one's called Charles Bronson Kills Hipsters, which
what
I love.
The hell
I go
is
back
that?
And find old Charles Bronson clips, and he's shooting hipsters.
One man sick and tired of their condescending glances. That one man, Charles Bronson. And it's about time he started killing hipsters. Sure, he wears a mustache, but he does so unironically. Turn it down, hipster. No one wants to hear your playlist. Cleaning up the streets, one unnecessary headband at a time. Killing hipsters because nobody else would. That and they also raped his wife a bunch of times. Bang, your scene is dead. Killing hipsters.
Very funny.
So there you go. And Black Swan trailer that will actually appeal to the masses. And this is basically where we really get to the crux of the issue, which is that Mila Kunis and Natalie Portman make out. And have
absolutely
a sex scene. And that's way more important than all of the other stuff that happens to be going on during this movie.
Ben Lyons is convinced the chick from Sarah Marshall is doing that girl from Star Wars, and she's like a swan or something. Can we... Let's just see the kiss again. Yeah, there it is. Black Swan. The movie where Mila Kunis has sex with Queen Amidala.
See, they need to start doing trailers like that and
right
get people out to the goddamn movie,
that's
right?
That's all that you need, it and you're in.
Kevin and Bane, later, man.
All right, we're
right.
All right, right, we...
You go.
But you...
All
right. Okay, on three, let's go. All right.
If you'd like tickets to go to the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, we have tickets for night number two for you next. You're going to have to play a game. It's going to be painful. Sorry about that.
All right.
1-800-520-1067.
Thanks to you, both nights of the Almost Acoustic Christmas concerts this weekend are sold out. We've got two big ways for you to win tickets for night number two. One is just to be caller 21 when you hear the song Holiday by Vampire Weekend. And by the way, when you hear it, you'll want to go out and buy a Honda and won't know why. And the other is to be on the line with us right now at 1-800-520-1067. What are we playing this time around, Kevin?
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
All right, let's move along to the call. got it. Thank you. Hello, Mexicans.
So good.
Still the best.
We have callers on the line. If they are able to identify the title and artist of the song that you're going to be doing with just your mouths, they go into the drawing to win tickets for night number two. Do I have that correct, guys?
You got it. Just our mouths.
Now, again, this game does not use lyrics. This is not about the lyrics. This is about just the musical portions. Most of the time, it's the intro to the song. Is that correct, guys?
Correct. All right. It'll be a bunch of different rock instruments recreated with just Dave and my mouth.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. I can't wait to hear it. If it's half as good as the intro, ratings are skyrocketing. Let's take Anna on line one to get us going. Anna, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm sorry, you're the first contestant on El Orquesta de la Raza. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Good luck. Listen up.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Kind of petered out there. All right, Anna, I couldn't do it, but maybe you can tell us title and artist of that song.
Vampire Weekend Holiday.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
because it was awesome.
It's unbelievable. You are in the drawing. Well done.
How did and by the way, when she stalled, there's no way I thought she was gonna get it. Nope. Right,
I know the song. Right. I love the song.
Right.
Never would have been able to compare that with what those guys were doing.
Correct.
This is Isela back on the Kevin and Bean Show. You were a contestant earlier in the week, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
All right. And you obviously did not win, so you're trying again. So listen up. Good luck.
Good luck with
this one. Okay. I believe you've irritated us enough. Isela, what do you think, my dear?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm looking at the answer, and I can't recognize it.
Okay, I'm going to guess.
Go ahead.
Neon Trees Animal?
No. Oh, thank you for playing. Apparently, although you couldn't prove it in a court of law, that was Litz the Mania by Phoenix.
Spot on.
No. Spot on. Let's go to Alfredo, line three. Hey, Kevin and Bean, we're giving you major radio stations around the country to put a show on. What are you going to do with it? Well, we're going to have guys sing with their mouths. That's what we're going to do.
That's right.
What else are we going to sing with, idiot?
All right, Alfredo, you ready to play?
Yeah.
Good luck.
2, 3, 4.
Is it Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Well, that was, in his defense, that one does have whistling in it, so for God's
right.
sake.
It did kind of sound like it.
It almost showed.
And have the radio down real low.
Keep your magical whistles a hits, bitch.
No, take it easy.
Let's try Richard. Richard is on line four, our next contestant on El Orquesta de la Raza. Richard, good luck to you. Listen up, okay?
All right. 2, 3, 4.
You can guess now if we can stop listening to this.
Neon Trees?
Yes.
Animal?
Yes!
Sorry, guys, but he put his head on misery.
In the drawing, we only have time for...
That was pretty good, right?
Yeah?
Yeah, it was. Well done, guys. All right, we have time for one more. Let's make it Kim, line five. Hi, Kim. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. Ready to play? Good luck. All right. Thank you very much, Caleb. And Kim, what do you think? It's sort of close.
No way.
Oh, my gosh.
If it helps, it is one of the bands on night number two. You want to take a guess?
Thank you for that.
She's mocking me for giving her a hint.
What's your guess?
I'm just going to say Florence and the Machine.
Oh,
no, this time we were looking for Tighten Up by the Black Keys. Yeah, there you go.
Spot on.
I don't know about spot on, but maybe in the neighborhood. All right, you know what? We mocked the guys, but Anna, Alfredo, and Richard all were able to identify El Orquesta de la Raza's performance. Lisa, who's going to win the tickets for night number two in the pit?
Our winner is Alfredo.
Alfredo. Yay! Congratulations, Alfredo.
Oh, I love your sauce.
Wow.
File.
Put it in the file.
File.
Thanks, Orchestra.
El Orquesta de la Raza. Si se puede.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. And it is 8:56.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. There are many things I know very little about, but there's nothing that I know less about than World of Warcraft. But apparently Cataclysm is out today, and it's causing a worldwide sensation. And we're going to be talking to the co-founder of Blizzard, the company that makes World of Warcraft, coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show just after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the show Biz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on, Ralph?
People love WoW.
They do love WoW.
People love WoW.
World of Warcraft.
Yes.
The people who love it really love it.
Right.
And I have actually been an audience member to a game.
You watch wow.
I've watched other
else
people play.
Play. That okay, seems like a strange like subset.
It
small
does.
Subset of
it
people.
Does, and I'm sure I am not amongst a majority of people who have experienced that. But I found it quite entertaining, even not playing.
Watching
yes.
someone play.
Yes, it's a fascinating game.
I'm not for me,
not doubting
per se,
that.
But I enjoyed watching people enjoy it.
But isn't it better to get vagina?
I don't know what that means.
I'm just saying, the people who are really into World of Warcraft, it's because they're not killing all that time throughout their digging vagina, right?
Oh, I see.
But what about the people that are just watching the people play?
Yeah.
It's even worse.
Yeah, we're too busy with vagina.
Did they ever, it seems like something as popular as this has been around as long as it has, they would have made a movie by now. Have they ever made a World of Warcraft movie, Ralph?
Oh, that's an excellent, excellent question. To which I do not have the answer.
Only we had someone on to talk about.
You have to ask Blizzard.
10 minutes.
All right, well, ask Blizzard.
Ask Blizzard. Ashley Green, speaking of vagina, tells Us Weekly magazine that she's surprised how much she likes Joe Jonas. What? Apparently, that relationship has taken off.
What?
Yeah. The Twilight actress says she was just being nice pretty much when she went on a date with Joe Jonas, but now she's head over heels, say sources.
Nope.
And is taking him home to meet her parents for the holidays. You know he doesn't bone, right, Ashley? Has anyone clued her in? Has anyone told her yet?
When she finds out.
You know that ring he wears all the time? That means I don't bone. That's a non-bone ring.
Maybe that's what Ashley's looking for.
Oh, God.
It'd be sad, but...
Oh, what a
what's
waste.
What's happening?
What a waste.
It's not right.
It's not right at all.
Hasn't he dated like every woman in Hollywood for about a week?
Yeah, pretty much.
One of his exes, Demi Lovato, he made her crazy, drove her insane.
Yeah,
wasn't Joe Jonas the one she was dating, or was she one of the other Jonas?
Like it matters.
I thought she was dating the girl. I don't know.
They're all interchangeable. Anyway, things are getting bad for Demi Lovato. Not only, of course, is she in rehab for a litany of issues she's trying to deal with: cutting and not eating, and eating too much and cutting too much, and sewing herself up, and drugs, and alcohol.
Cutting again.
Cutting other people, and then sewing them up, eating other people.
I don't think she's doing all that.
She eats people.
I don't think so.
Dosing them up with drugs. Eating the drugs.
That's not happening.
Cutting people with drugs.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, she's got a lot of issues.
Right, but none of those.
Now, things are getting worse.
All right.
She is facing a lawsuit from the dancer on tour that she punched in the face. This was the incident that led her to seek help for her issues. Punched this girl in the face, and now the woman is seeking medical treatment from a plastic surgeon. Wow, she must have some punch.
Hey, I saw the pictures. She definitely did some damage, if Demi's the one who really hit her and did all that.
Well, looks like she's got a high-powered attorney, and now they're filing a lawsuit against Demi Lovato. We'll be filing a lawsuit next week. Says Donald Carpel, who is the love his syndrome, who is the high-powered attorney for Alex Welch, is the name of the dancer. We will be seeking punitive damages for assault, battery, and mental stress. When asked if Alex Welch wants Lovato to pay for her medical bills, the lawyer said, "We're exploring all of our options right now," which means much more than just that.
Yeah, right.
She is now consulting a Beverly Hills ears, nose, and throat plastic surgeon. Oh, she made her throat ugly?
Wow.
That's horrible. You gotta fix her throat.
Oh.
I'm just saying, you need a specialist to fix her throat.
I hear you.
boy, you people just have disgusting, what? Disgusting minds.
Not us.
I wish you all the best, Alex Welch, in your throat. The new debut album from Liam Gallagher is in the pipeline. The new band, BDI, is the name of that band. The new album will be out in February. It's called Different Gear, Still Speeding. Features 13 new songs. Friends say it sounds a lot like Wings. No, I'm just kidding. The old band sounded like the Beatles. See?
See? But, no.
Album is produced by Steve Lillywhite. He does good work.
Yeah.
Best known for his work with U2. So far, only a UK release date has been set for February the 28th, but I'm sure it'll be available in the U.S. sometime soon, although they have no record deal here in the States yet. We're looking forward to hearing from that band.
I do have a clip, if you'd like to hear some Liam Gallagher.
Oh, some new Liam Gallagher?
Please.
Awesome.
Happy to.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I think he sounds different than he did with
Hallelujah.
That's not...
Hallelujah.
Wow. He may need Noel more than he thought.
Man, no kidding.
That's what I'm saying.
I have the actual clip, if you want to hear the actual clip.
Oh, stop. Yeah. I may like that more than the other
it's
one.
It's very upbeat.
It is. It makes me happy. It's like a Christmas song from El Churro or whatever.
Chumbo?
Chumbawumbo.
Yeah. I know that Kevin is just clowning around, but if you really want to hear Liam Gallagher, I can hook you up.
Oh,
I
sweet
I
Jesus.
Actually, I the real song
oh,
here.
Oh, man.
What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherry. Red dye number two. Green cherries. Green ones, too.
Got a little bit of a holiday number there from Mr. Gallagher.
Is that Fred from the B-52s?
No, it's the new Liam Gallagher.
That's Fred that Schneider that from Schneider? The B-52s? Are you kidding? Doing a song
answer the question,
fruitcake?
Giggles. Is that Fred Schneider from the B-52s?
Heavy as lead.
Yeah.
Fruitcake.
Gotta be, right?
If it hits you in the head. Fruitcake. It could kill you dead. It's fruitcake.
Kevin's all-time favorite singer. Fred Schneider is back
wow.
with a new holiday album.
Is this solo or is this B-52's work?
This is Fred, oh, Fred Schneider's solo.
Fred solo
with, a new,
work, huh?
with a new band called The Superians, but it's an all-Christmas album, and Fruitcake is the oh big smash God. Hit single.
And by big smash hit single, you mean?
It's got heavy rotation on my iPod, I'll tell you that.
Can anyone just make a Christmas album where they just let everyone do it? Well, hell, we used to do it for years, so I guess they will let anyone
That's
do
true.
It.
Your new favorite song, Kevin?
Absolutely. Wow.
Fruitcake.
Who Anyone knew? Get a sense of irony at all? Fred Schneider singing a song called Fruitcake?
Who knew he could
Anybody?
Get more that direction?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tom Waits is 61. Does Tom Waits have a Christmas album?
Christmas is here and I killed Santa.
He wrote a classic Christmas song called Christmas Card from a Hooker in Minneapolis that we had on one of our Kevin and Bean Christmas albums a few years ago, covered by the Ataris. Great song, but no, he's not put out a complete holiday album.
I don't think...
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All!
I don't think he was actually
asking that question.
Sort of a rhetorical question.
See, Thomas Howe's 44 years old today. He's got a Christmas album out. I hope people will pick it up. It's great. It's called I Was Pony Boy.
That's the name of it?
Right. Was he Pony Boy? Wasn't it him? Or was that Macchio? Which one did C. Thomas Howell play? Was he Johnny?
Was he Johnny,
Johnny or was he Pony Boy? I think it was Pony Boy. I think he was.
I don't know.
The Outsiders, right? Terrell Owens is 37 years old today. Terrell Owens was Soul Man?
Yeah,
no,
that's
kind of hard to believe.
Oh, that's right. He used to put shoe polish on his face so he could go to Harvard. What could be offensive about that movie?
Not at all.
Nothing. Yeah, thing.
Shuri Appleby is 32 years old today. Nicole Appleton of the All Saints is 35. A lot of apples celebrating their birthdays today. Jennifer Carpenter from Dexter is 31 years old today. And singer Aaron Carter celebrates his 23rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's a huge day. Literally, people have taken the day off from work today because it's the release of World of Warcraft Cataclysm. Listen up.
With my torment, its wretched kingdoms quake beneath my rage. But at last, the whole of Azeroth will break.
somebody somewhere torturing that animal.
I don't know what's happening.
Let's not do that.
All answers can be had from our next guest, Blizzard co-founder and executive vice president of product development. We have Frank Pierce on the line. Hey, Frank, thanks for coming on today. I know it's a very busy day for y'all.
No problem. Morning, guys. Morning, Whistleman.
Good morning.
How was the launch? I know you expectations are always high, particularly when people are waiting in some places around the world in freezing cold for the midnight on sale. Did it go pretty smoothly so far?
Yeah, so far everything's gone really smoothly. When we launched Wrath of the Lich King 2 years ago, we sold 2.8 million copies in the first 24 hours of availability. So that's what we're chasing today, and so far things are going well.
It's so crazy, by the way, and I don't think that people who don't game don't realize what big business it is. When a game like yours comes out, or like Black Ops did a few weeks ago, I mean, it makes more money in its first day than 99% of movies ever make in the entire time they're in the theater. The dollars are just staggering for your industry now.
Yeah, if you're able to make a really compelling, immersive, and successful game, there's a lot of money in it.
World of Warcraft has been along for how long? Been around for how long, Frank?
We launched World of Warcraft originally in November of 2004, so we've been operating commercially for just over 6 years.
Now, we're sorry to sound dumb, but neither of us play. So help us understand the World of Warcraft.
The World of Warcraft is a online MMO. It's thousands of players online simultaneously in a virtual world. The World of Azeroth is a Tolkien-esque style fantasy world with, you know, creatures like orcs and trolls and humans and everything else that you can imagine. You can get online, you can play with your buddies, you can complete quests by yourself, you can take on huge 20-man encounters with your guildmates for all sorts of different fun.
Who's making Deathwing the Destroyer mad?
Who's making Deathwing? I knew you guys were going to ask me.
I mean, really? I'm saying let's stop making that animal mad because it seems to breathe fire.
If we didn't piss that guy off, we wouldn't have the sundering of the world, and that's what the whole Cataclysm expansion is about.
Okay, all right.
Now, let's face it. When you've got a successful franchise like this, you don't put out a new game unless you're ready, unless you've got something that's worth doing an update for. What's new in Cataclysm, Frank?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, we sundered the entire old world. We've got a bunch of content that we released for the game 6 years ago, and we've learned a ton because we've been working on the game for 6 years. We've learned a ton about creating regions and experiences for the players, and so this story arc gave us the opportunity to go back and revisit that content and apply all the learnings from the last 6 years. So hopefully all the players that have been experiencing the content to this point will be interested in going back and revisiting that. We created all that content with an eye towards accessibility because we know there are a lot of people that have heard about this experience but haven't necessarily taken the opportunity to try it yet.
Right.
So we've tried to make accessibility something that's in mind with that and those people. And then we added two new races, and we've got new high-end content for all the existing players. I'm probably speaking Greek for you guys. We added a bunch of new race class combos that people are excited about. All kinds of cool stuff.
Let me ask you this. 6 years seems like a long time between games. Is that normal for this type of game?
Cataclysm is the latest expansion in the series, and we launched an expansion about 2 years ago called Wrath of the Lich King, and then we launched an expansion called Burning Crusade about 18 to 20 months after we launched the original game in November of 2004. So we deliver content patches every 3 or 4 months to the players.
Okay.
So we've been working on content and delivering content to the players pretty consistently for the last 6 years.
What's new in the field of technology since the last one came out? It seems like they're always figuring out new ways to do things that just look amazing.
Yeah, you know, we don't have a philosophy in product development to chase the cutting edge of technology. We work really hard on our games. We pour our blood, sweat, and tears into these products, and so we're always thinking about getting our games in the hands of the broadest audience possible. So we actually target really low system specifications for your home PC to be able to play the game. So certainly there's been a lot of advancement in 3D technology over the course of the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. And we try to leverage that as best we can. So, like recently, we incorporated some new technology, graphics technology for water. I mean, we had water in the game before, but it didn't look as good as the new water looks.
but you don't need people to have to go update their computer system to play it.
No, we don't want people to have to go buy a new computer to be able to play our
game. How great. This is the voice of Frank Pierce on the Kevin DeBean Show, by the way. He's a co-founder of Blizzard and the VP of executive VP of product development. We're talking about World of Warcraft Cataclysm. Boy, I have trouble saying that.
No, that's
in
good.
Stores available today. How good are you at the game and some of the other people that work at Blizzard? And are you allowed to play as much as you want at work?
You know, we're not playing all the time at work. We've got one of the things that we believe makes us successful is having people on the development teams that are gamers and that are passionate about playing these games. We feel like that's really going to have people that are invested in developing the experience. And so, yeah, we've got a lot of people on the team that are really passionate about playing the game. I do play myself, although it turns out that operating a business that supports millions of players in a virtual world around the globe keeps me pretty busy.
Sort of too busy for that.
I imagine so. Yeah. Well, congratulations. You're getting phenomenal reviews on the new game available everywhere today called World of Warcraft Cataclysm. Still can't say it. And I bet it's got to be exciting for you to have the game come out, but tomorrow you're going to wake up and go, all right, let's start working on the next one.
Yeah, honestly, on the development team, we always tell ourselves that, hey, when we launch the game, that's not when the work ends, that's when the work begins, because we have to support this launch and make sure that it goes smoothly for the millions of players around the globe that expect us to deliver a high-quality entertainment experience.
Last question for you, Frank, and again, we thank you for your time being on the Kevin DeBean Show. What kind of talk has there been about a World of Warcraft movie? Seems like the kind of characters and drama you've created here could really lend itself to that.
Yeah, we actually really believe strongly that the universes that we've created would lend themselves well to the big screen, and a while back, we signed a deal with Legendary Pictures to create a Warcraft movie. It's still really early in the development process. You know, we're still trying to figure out who the right talent is in terms of writing the screenplay and everything. And one of the things that we want to make sure that we do, if we're making a movie out of one of our franchises, we want to make sure that whoever we partner with honors the standard of quality that we have for our games. And so we feel like with Legendary, we've really found a partner that matches our standards of quality. But we're going to take the time to work with them to make sure that when it finally does get on the big screen, that it's done well and done correctly.
So 2013, 2014?
I don't even know if we have a window for that yet.
All right, Frank, thanks for your time. We know you're very busy today. We appreciate you coming on. Good luck with Cataclysm.
Thank you. Thanks, Kevin.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, sad news for all you fan of terriers.
Oh.
You said fan.
Yeah, this is just for Lisa. I'm doing personal showbiz news
now. Thank you.
Just for individual people. Lisa's story is Terriers has been canceled by the FX network.
What a shame.
That's a show?
That's a network?
You like Donald Logue. Right? Yes. He's a good actor. That's why I started watching it.
Hmm. Mike came in 2 or 3 weeks in a row raving about that show, talking about how we should all be seeing it, and I don't think any of us listened to him or paid attention.
Apparently we
didn't.
So Terriers is gone. Producers say the show was too subtle for the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's too subtle.
I'm going to try that. It's not that the joke wasn't funny. Right. It's that it's too subtle
you
for the audience.
Get it. It's the M. Night Shyamalan defense.
That's also what K-Pet said about his rap album.
That's right. People just don't get it. When people dismiss your work out of hand, blame the audience.
Apparently it was the lowest rated original show on the network, though, so I guess they had that, too.
I am forgiven them for canceling The Riches.
Oh, I like that show.
I love The Riches.
Yeah, that was a good show.
They canceled that on me. So there, FX, you got a lot to make up for. And Terriers isn't going to cut it, see? Although they do have Sons of Anarchy over there. That's a real good show. So, got to give them props. Good news for Dexter fans. Showtime has officially announced, no surprise here, that Dexter will be back slicing more faces and taking more souvenirs for a sixth season. We got more Dexter in store.
This show's so good. Makes me worry about myself how much I like it.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like it tells you something about yourself.
Has not gotten on board. I think largely because she hasn't watched it. But that would help. She gives me that look every time I sit down. She's like, are you going to watch the guy who kills everybody show? Yeah, can't wait to see what happens. Yep. Can't see what he kills this week. I can't wait. She's like, okay, I'm going to take the baby and leave the room now. She's disturbed by my love for Dexter.
And then you start thinking, well, does this say something about
me? But he's never been more heroic than he has been this season.
That's true.
As much as he can be.
He's a hero.
Really. He's really doing all the right things for all the right reasons.
He really is.
And by the way, Sunday nights don't get any less bloody with Boardwalk Empire either, which has just turned into quite a body count in recent weeks.
Yeah. And Walking Dead, which is great on AMC.
That's right.
By the way, Walking Dead finale for that first season
I guess there were six, eight. I don't know how many
six.
Episodes.
Yeah,
six episodes. First time out. They've renewed them for another 13 for the second
Love
season.
Love it.
So it'll be more. But the finale had the largest ratings ever for a basic cable drama.
No kidding.
So congratulations to those guys. Over 6 million viewers apparently tuned in to see the end of Walking Dead. So congratulations to those guys. TNT, also in the news, Eliza Dushku has a new show on TNT called Bird Dog that she started filming about a week ago. Oh, she quit.
What?
Yeah. She said yesterday via tweet that she is no longer working on Bird Dog, which is a series about a young woman who moves to the Pacific Northwest to become a cop, and she ends up partnered with her estranged father. She said the decision was mutual.
Nope. There is no such thing, is there?
Mm-mm. No, there isn't really.
There's no such thing as a mutual decision.
No. Not only in show business, in any job. If you say, I quit, your boss is like, what the F? Or if your boss pulls you in the office and goes, you know what? You're fired. You're really not good.
Then you go, what the F?
Right. But yeah. You don't say, oh, you're firing me? Oh, thank you, because I was just about to quit.
This is perfect.
We are on the same page here. You hate me and the job that I'm doing, and I hate you and your company. This is, give me a hug. That doesn't happen.
Let's go out for drinks.
That never happens, ever. At least of all in show business.
Will the show go on? Will they replace her? Or
yes.
Is it dead in the water now?
No, okay. They are recasting. No word on yet who will be cast as the lead, but... she will not be involved in that project anymore, so. Good news for Rick Fox. You got her at home in bed more often. So, every cloud has a silver lining.
Sure.
Here's some Psycho Mike.
Yes!
News as I tailor more of the showbiz beat for individuals here on the show. It is official. Hollywood Reporter has announced that all the pieces are now in place. And American Psycho, the film based on the popular book that starred Christian Bale, of course, in the movie, is being made into a Broadway musical.
Talking about what you love and how it defines you, that movie and that book, seriously,
yes.
Over 100 times, Mike's seen.
Right.
Yes.
Remember the scene where Christian Bale takes an axe to that guy and put a scratch on his Cadillac? You remember that? Remember that scene? That was the most frightening sequence of that entire film
that
for me.
I'm a no.
Can't believe you scratched my Cadillac. Oh, murdered him.
There's a scene where Christian Bale murders Jared Leto, and I don't know if I could watch porn with women in it that's hotter than that. It's just there's so much awesome man meat and murder and finely tailored suits. It's everything I love.
And Huey Lewis in the news.
The script is still being written, and the music for the show is being done by Duncan Sheik, who you may remember had the wildly popular smash hit Barely Breathing as a single, and he has since gone on to work in the theater. He did Spring Awakening, did the music for that show, which was a big Broadway hit. And now it's being he's working on American Psycho. He says in this interview, which I think is funny, obviously, it's not for the people who went to see Elf, which, of course, is another big Broadway musical enjoying success right now. So I think he understands.
Have they attached a lead to that yet?
They have not, but I'm thinking, let's crate up Psycho Mike and send him to New York and see what happens.
Mike, didn't you lay down some auditions for the American Psycho musical? Didn't you have an idea at one point that you'd like to apply?
Some tunes, yeah.
Five hookers' carcasses rotting inside Hell's Kitchen. Within a bathtub that I filled with lye. Five hookers' carcasses rotting inside Hell's Kitchen. I killed them to make me feel better inside. With chainsaws and hammers and ice picks I killed them. Those dirty bitches, they deserve to die.
See? It's going to be a very uplifting musical for the whole family.
Here in my eye.
Looking forward to it.
Hey, look. He's your guy.
This BS worked for me in Sharktopus, my friend. I say just push it. I say push. That's keep true. Pushing it. Keep talking about it. Eventually, they will not be able to ignore you, and you will get a role in American Psycho, the musical. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Tom Waits is 61 years old today. C. Thomas Howell celebrates his 44th birthday. Terrell Owens of your Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, wait a minute. They're not your Cincinnati Bengals. They're not anyone's Cincinnati Bengals, really. Another heartbreaking
not even
loss.
Cincinnati.
37 years old today. Sherry Appleby is 32 years old. Nicole Appleton of All Saints is 35. And Jennifer Carpenter, speaking of Dexter, she plays his sister on that show. And in real life, they're husband and wife. It has to make all kinds of creepy feelings come up every day at work. She is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin DeBean Show. Tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, we have a holiday edition of Ask a Mexican with Gustavo Arellano.
Oh, all right.
Oh, Feliz Navidad.
Yes. We have to play more of the Fred Schneider song. I have to hear every beautiful, beautiful
the whole note album
of that song.
What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Fruitcake. Oh,
there's plenty more. There's
a whole record. All of it.
What you making? What you baking?
Amazon.com. The minute we get off the air, I'm going right there and buying
it. How does he do it? A guy who's written a book called How to Disappear that Bean's desperately
yes,
in love with.
Is that tomorrow?
No, it won't be on.
I'm so excited. Whoops, hold on a sec. I'm so excited because that is this could be my last show tomorrow. Man. I was only hanging on until I got tips from that guy on how to be erased.
Alex always not happy when we can't find him.
No, that's too bad.
No!
Paul Bettany is also on the program. We're talking about The Tourist. And we have your tickets in the pit for the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Shows.
So much.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Speaking of Acoustic Christmas, don't forget, when Cat Corbett plays Holiday in the next half hour by Vampire Weekend, be caller 21, and you'll win tickets for night number 2 of the 21st Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Just to make sure you know what song you're listening for.
Holiday?
It's Holiday. Here it is. All right.
She's also got other bands that'll be appearing this weekend, including the Smashing Pumpkins and Florence and the Machine. That's all straight ahead right here on the world-famous K-Rock.